Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is the social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Career changers, including veterans and active duty service members. Your transition starts here. Go from GI to IT in a matter of months. Become a certified cyber warrior with training at My Computer Career. Cybersecurity specialists are in high demand, offering IT pros great opportunities and a rewarding lifestyle while protecting our people, liberty, and treasured institutions from cyber threats. Deploy your career in IT today at mycomputercareer.edu/CWP, an elite CompTIA certification partner.
VA education benefits are available to those who qualify.
Using free speech to free minds. You're listening to The David Knight Show.
As the clock strikes 13, it's Thursday, the 24th of November, year of our Lord. 2022, Thanksgiving Day, day 987 of medical martial law with an emergency is just a couple of years ago that we had most churches shut down, afraid to open up. 2 years ago. A year ago, we had the specter hanging over so many people of vaccine mandates. Many people are still struggling with them. The toxin that was going out. Today we're going to talk, though, about the Christian principles that founded this country. We're going to talk about Thanksgiving. We're going to talk about the real history. Forget about Project 1619. We're going to talk about God's Project 1620, the real history. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Acknowledge the providence of Almighty God, to obey His will, to be grateful for His benefits, and humbly to implore His protection and favor. And whereas both houses of Congress have by their joint committee requested me to recommend to the people of the United States a day of public thanksgiving and prayer, to be observed by acknowledging with grateful hearts the many signal favors of Almighty God, especially by affording them an opportunity peaceably to establish a form of government for their safety and happiness. Now, therefore, I do recommend and assign Thursday, the 26th of November, next, to be devoted by the people of these states to the service of that great and glorious being, who is the beneficent author of all good that was, that is, or that will be, that we may then all unite in rendering under Him our sincere and humble thanks for His kind care and protection of the people of this country, previous to their becoming a nation, for the signal and manifold mercies and the favorable interpositions of His providence, which we experienced in the course and the conclusion of the late war, and for the great degree of tranquility, union, and plenty which we have since enjoyed, for the peaceful and rational manner in which we have been enabled to establish constitutions of government for our safety and happiness, and particularly the nation one now lately instituted for the civil and religious liberty with which we are blessed, and the means we have of acquiring and diffusing useful knowledge, and in general for all the great and various favors which he hath been pleased to confer upon us. Also, that we may then unite in most humbly offering our prayers and supplications to the great Lord and ruler of nations, and beseech him to pardon our national and other transgressions, to enable us all, whether in public or private stations, to perform our several and relative duties properly and punctually, to render our national government a blessing to all the people by constantly being a government of wise, just, and constitutional laws, discreetly and faithfully executed and obeyed, to protect and guide all sovereigns and nations, especially those that have shown kindness to us, and to bless them with good government, peace, and concord, to promote the knowledge and practice of true religion and virtue, and the increase of science among them and us, and to generally grant unto all mankind such a degree of temporal prosperity as he alone knows to be best. Given under my hand at the city of New York, the third day of October in the year of our Lord, 1789. George Washington.
Well, you know, when we look at this, we talk about making America great again, don't we? Will God make America grateful again? That was our first president. Very different from our last and current presidents, isn't it? You know, God blessed this country because people were grateful to him for the blessing of liberty. Now he talks about year of our Lord. Which Lord would that be? The Lord that we mark time from. The Lord Jesus Christ. So let's talk a little bit about Thanksgiving. Let's talk about God's project, the 1620 project. You know, we've got, we have PBS, we have the New York Times, we have academia and media are focused on removing God. A good example of that is this PBS documentary, To Rewrite History. To take God out of the picture. Listen to this trailer for a very expensive and slick production produced with your taxpayer dollars.
If you ask people, where does America start? They'll say, it starts in Plymouth Rock.
There's more to the story than the story we all know.
They were a very small group of very extreme people.
They weren't the people that you would expect to be founding a new colony. There's a sense that they came to America in search of religious freedom. They didn't.
The Pilgrims on American Experience.
Yeah, there's a sense, isn't it, that they came to America for religious freedom, but they didn't. Oh, really? You know better, right? You know, the problem is that we have the diaries from the people. We have lots of original history. This is not something that we have to read tea leaves or go through archaeological digs to figure out. They kept diaries. PBS knows that you're not going to read those diaries, so they can lie to you about it. Now, that American experience, quote-unquote, was done before they started the 1619 Project, I believe. So they tried to tell you, well, you know, we all think of America as beginning with the Pilgrims and for good reason, the Mayflower. But we're going to tell you that all that was wrong. We're going to remove God from the picture. And then with the Project 1619 of the New York Times, what they did was they removed the Pilgrims and Mayflower from history. They relocated the founding of America from people who were seeking freedom from religious persecution, who just sought to live a life of independence with their families, away from religious persecution. And they changed it to Jamestown, 1619, Project 1619. Why did they do that? Well, because Jamestown was a very different colony. Jamestown was more focused on economics. A lot of people who went to Jamestown, it was only after the initial first few years that they actually started bringing families. For the most part, there were people who were trying to make an economic start for themselves. Many of them came as indentured servants. After a few years, they replaced the European indentured servants who could work their way out. They replaced them with chattel slavery, African slaves. And so that's what they want to focus on with America. So 400 years later, those who seek to destroy our nation are busy destroying both its history and its Christian principles. And that America was shaped by Christian principles. Now, the leaders were not perfect, they did not follow those principles, but that was what they aspired to. And look, none of us are perfect either. None of us. So when they go back, you go back and say, well, look, their theology was wrong here or there, or they didn't do this, or they didn't do that, or they kept slaves, or they did whatever. Yeah, they were hypocrites, just as we are all hypocrites. But they aspired to Christian principles, and it was those Christian principles that laid the foundation for our country, legally, as well as culturally. So today we're going to talk about Thanksgiving, and then we're going to have some best of interviews that will finish the rest of the program today. But, you know, there's a lot of different lessons that we can take from Thanksgiving and that have been done in the past. We could talk about Thanksgiving and the triumph of private property.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital. And that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
And personal responsibility over the tragedy of the commons. That's something that's been very popular with conservatives to talk about. And it is true. You know, when the pilgrims landed, you know, they went through some very severe times. As Bradford and others pointed out, look, you know, we nearly starved because, first of all, they came relying on God and not really knowing much about agriculture. We'll talk about that in a moment. But they also wanted to have everything in common. They're Christians, so it's like, oh yeah, we're all Christians, so let's all have everything in common. And the problem is that's the tragedy of the commons. Nobody had the private property or the personal responsibility to make this stuff happen, and guess what? It didn't happen. And so they changed it. Everybody's going to have a plot of land. That's going to be your land. You're going to grow your food. If you've got extra food, you can help the people who didn't do a good job, but everybody's going to work on this. That was an important lesson. Rush Limbaugh used to talk about that on a regular basis. That was kind of his take on Thanksgiving. And that's an important lesson. And it's a true lesson. We could also talk about the peace and the harmony of different tongues and tribes to make a unified nation eventually. That was the narrative in the mid-20th century when I was growing up. It was very popular. America as a melting pot. Different cultures coming together for a common nation, to build that nation. Now, that was the America of the immigrants of my parents' generation and the ones before that. They would come to America because they wanted to join America. They didn't want to just, they embraced American values. They weren't just coming so they could have the material wealth that we have. But they wanted to become Americans, not just come for economic reasons and head back to wherever they came from, or not just to take over, but they wanted to embrace the values that they had seen in this country. That was a very real narrative. And in this story, you could see the pilgrims and the Indians coming together. This is the way that it was typically taught to me in the government school at that time. They would talk about how these two different groups would come together. They would build and use each other's strengths and build something that was stronger than the, what they had individually, take the best from each other. But that is totally different from what we're taught today. Today, the communists who run our institutions are determined to enhance our differences and to make us hate each other for those differences instead of coming together and becoming stronger, taking the best that each of us have and creating something that is new. That was what America was always about. But today, every difference is magnified and used to divide us, because that's how the communists seek to destroy this country. So that narrative has somewhat diminished. And they didn't just come together. If you go back and you look at the history, they didn't just come together for a meal and then start shooting at each other. They lived together peacefully for 55 years, from 1620 to 1675, until they had King Philip's War. Yes, it was not perfect, because human beings are not perfect. There were encroachments on both sides. There'd be flare-ups and other crimes and, you know, within their communities, of course. But then when it was between the two different communities, that's when things got a little bit more complicated, but they ironed out those differences. And they had peace, like I said, for 55 years. That's not too bad. That's a couple of generations. Do we do that well today? God never talks about different races, by the way, right? These are two tribes coming together. You had the tribes of the pilgrims, and you had some of the Indian tribes, several different Indian tribes that were there. And the Indian tribes had differences amongst themselves. They were not a homogeneous group that was always at peace with each other either. And so you have different tribes, you have different tongues, and that's the way God describes us. God does not talk about different races in the Bible. He talks about nations, tongues, and tribes. You know, Michael Savage talks about borders, language, and culture. I don't know if he got that from the Bible. This is something that runs throughout the Bible. I don't know if he got it from that or if he just got it from observation, because it's true. It's true. And so he could have noticed that himself, or he could have gotten it from the ancient writings. But it's true nevertheless. And so, God goes on further. I mean, we don't have different races. He has made all nations of one blood. We're all descended from Adam and later from Noah. So we have different political entities. We have different cultures. We have different languages. But we're all created in the image of God. We're all of one blood. That was how the pilgrims saw it. They sought to help people with a Christian religion by spreading it. But we could look at that aspect of it, the peace and harmony of different tongues and tribes coming together to form a nation. There's going to be greater than the sum of the two parts. We could also look at it at the historical significance of the Mayflower Compact, or as it's more accurately described, the Mayflower Combination. This is the document that they put together themselves when they realized that they were out of the legal jurisdiction of where they were headed, and they didn't have anything to govern themselves. But it really wasn't so much a political document. It was a groundbreaking moment, a groundbreaking document, because it was the first time that people had come together voluntarily to create something that would eventually become the instruments of governance. It is there as the foundation that was later built upon with the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution and many other things. Here's what they wrote when they realized they were in a place that they had not intended to go, and that there was no contract, no legal definition of how they would operate. This is what they said. So just keep in mind what the American experience, what PBS was telling you. They didn't do this because of religion. Oh, really? Did they even bother to read the Mayflower Combination, or the Compact, if you will? In the name of God, amen. That's how they begin it. We whose names are underwritten, the loyal subjects of our dread sovereign Lord King James, by the grace of God of Great Britain, France, and Ireland, King, Defender of the Faith, etc., having undertaken for the glory of God and the advancement of the Christian faith, and the honor of our king and country, a voyage to plant the first colony in the northern parts of Virginia, do by these presents solemnly and mutually, in the presence of God and one another, covenant and combine ourselves together into a civil body politic for our better ordering and preservation and furtherance of the ends aforesaid. And by virtue hereof, do enact, constitute, and frame such just and equal laws, ordinances, acts, constitutions, and officers from time to time, as shall be thought most meet and convenient for the general good of the colony, unto which we promise all due submission and obedience. In witness whereof, we have hereunto subscribed our names at Cape Cod, the 11th of November, in the reign of our sovereign Lord King James of England, France, and Ireland, and the 18th, and of Scotland, the 54th. Anno Domini, that means year of our Lord, 1620. So the Mayflower Compact is America's foundational document. PBS wants you to believe that had nothing to do with God. You didn't hear anything about God in there, did you? Evidently, PBS didn't. They have a much shorter document that they redacted God from, evidently, as well as from all the diaries and recorded history of the time. As Wilmore Kendall and George Carey said in their book, Basic Symbols, the compact is the symbol around which both the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution is built upon. It did not have a formal title as the Declaration of Independence. It was referred to by the people who lived there and their descendants as not by the compact, but by the combination. Let me see when I was saying that. We do hereby covenant and combine ourselves. And so they called it the combination. And that's how it was referred to by that community and the people who lived there up until the 1790s. And then it was...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today. Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Referred to as the Mayflower Compact. Many people who look at that believe that it was, that was more of a reflection of a more secularized view of this. They could have called it the Covenant, but I think they, you know, out of respect, they would look at, you know, a covenant as being something that was more religious, so they called it the Combination. But bottom line is that this is more than just about semantics. The Combination was really about creating a society, even more so than a form of government. The Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, would add more political theories and ideas and political structures at a later time, but that was really what it was built upon. There was an interesting comment on all this by a history professor from Hillsdale College, Bradley Berzer. He's a Roman Catholic, and he points out, he says, this could never have been composed by anyone but the most Protestant of Protestants. Indeed, even as a practicing Roman Catholic, I have a hard time imagining the same scene being played out by French, Spanish, or Portuguese settlers. No, this is one of the great fruits of Protestantism, and it's probably one that we Catholics should take to heart, especially as we continue to struggle over issues of religious freedom and freedom of conscience in our rather fallen world of the 21st century. He goes on, he says, importantly, the authors of the Combination never assert the existence of a, quote, state of nature, you know, Lockean, Hobbesian ideas that came later, by the way. Instead, they recognize that they are beholden to Scripture, to tradition, to a hierarchical authority, and to the English common law. And yet, they were not prepared either to destroy these ties nor to leave them out completely. Instead, they looked out upon what they considered to be a virgin land, a promised land of sorts. Here, they could take the best of the past, but they could implement it as they so desired. Wouldn't it be good if we were to do the same thing today? All around the world, we have statues being destroyed, monuments being destroyed. The foundations of our society are being destroyed by Marxists who look for any imperfection or hypocrisy in the lives of the people who laid down the foundations of our society in order to destroy our society. The wise path is to always take the good aspects of what went before us. Eat the chicken and leave the bones, if you will. You know, you can take a look at Martin Luther King, for example, and you could focus on his plagiarism. You could focus on his infidelities. You could focus on what many people have pointed out are some socialist tendencies of himself. Or you could take a look at his speeches, his inspirational speeches, where he said we should judge people by the content of their character rather than the color of their skin. Wouldn't that be nice if we were to do that today? That is antithetical to what the left wants to do today. So we take the best from people. We try to ignore the imperfections that are always there, whether you're talking about Martin Luther King or Thomas Jefferson. We try to ignore those perfections and take the wisdom from their life, learn the lessons from their life. That's what we ought to do, but we don't do that. So he goes on to say he was at Hillsdale College. He's always likes to do a lecture on the Mayflower combination. He says, as I prepared the lecture, I racked my brain trying to remember an example of another earlier assertion of self-government. Had the Greeks done it? Or the Jews? No, they had already relied upon a lawgiver. The Romans asserted something in 509 BC, but I'm not sure that it had quite the same texture as what the Pilgrims did in 1620. I really couldn't come up with a significant example. For all intents and purposes, the Plymouth Combination is the first real assertion of the right of self-governance in the modern Western world, and one of the most important in any time or place. As Kendall and Carey wisely claim, the 1620 document...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going. Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Did not need to assert any rights overtly as rights. Instead, the very short paragraph, the document as a whole, is an assertion of the right. It is a basic symbol indeed. That's the name of their book, Basic Symbols. So, it drew on the religious roots of America that can be seen in the Pilgrims and the Mayflower Combination. Did the Constitution? You know, the Constitution begins, we the people, and then it goes into the purpose of the Constitution. One of the key ones is to secure the blessings of liberty for ourselves and our prosperity. You know, atheists don't talk about blessings. You won't see PBS talking about blessings. not at all. A blessing is something that is given. Who gives it? We have an inscription on the Liberty Bell. It's inscribed with Leviticus 25:10. And it reads, proclaim liberty throughout the land to all inhabitants thereof. Now, the context there of what was being talked about in Leviticus 25, the context was about the year of Jubilee. Every, you know, 50th year, they would have, all debts would be canceled. All the indentured slaves, indentured servants, however you want to call it, would be set free. It was the year of Jubilee. And that was, that inscription, was put on the Liberty Bell. Founders of America from 1620 to the creation of the Constitution saw liberty as a blessing, as a gift from God. They made it clear over and over again. And the second half of that, to ourselves and to our posterity. So when we look at the Pilgrims, when we look at the founders of this nation, they were very different in their perspective than our society is today. They were focused on their children. Their hearts were turned to their children. And in the Bible, we always see that as an indication of God's movement in a people. God moves them to blessing by turning their hearts toward their children. That makes a big difference in the way that you behave, the way that you think, the way that you build a life. Instead, in our society, in a time of decadence and degradation, people of our society have become lovers of self. So that's the kind of society that the Bible always points at as a society that is setting itself up for judgment instead of for blessing. If and when God changes our hearts, turns them towards our children, then he'll be preparing us to bless us. We can see that in the Pilgrims and in the founders of this country. But today I want to talk about something else that is rarely talked about, even in conservative circles. People talk about the legal issues and the precedents and the historical importance of the Mayflower Compact or the combination. They will talk about the peace and community. They don't do that too much anymore between the Indians and the Pilgrims. They'll talk about the economic aspects. That's really where conservatives focus today. Because we're all about the money, right? Hey, it's the economy, stupid. Everything is about the money. But I want to talk a little bit about God's providence and care in this story. Because I think that's the real lesson. That is far more important than the triumph of private property and personal responsibility over the tragedy of the commons. It's far more important than groups of people cooperating and coming together peacefully. It's far more important than any legal document, no matter how much of a precedent it sets. And that's God's providence and care. So that was what was foremost in the minds of the Pilgrims as well. And if you were to talk to them, or if you read their writing, that's one way to talk to them, if you will. Listen to them. If you listen to them, you'll see that they're not bragging about what they did. They give the glory to God. They honor God. They would say that and did say it over and over again. Today, in many ways, we are like them. We are pilgrims and strangers on this earth. That is a Christian idea. In our journey, we also need to acknowledge how we need God. We also need to look to him to provision and for providence as they did. And we need to honor him when he provides. So, you know, I look at this and a lot of people, in America, we've had so many immigrants lately and a lot of people say, you know, they're hyphenated Americans or whatever. As I've said in the past, when I first met Karen, she was from New York and she was second generation of people who had come, some of them from Poland, some of them from Italy. And so when we met, she asked me, where are you from? You know, so what do you mean? I'm from America. I'm just an American. I don't know where they came from. I never did go back and look. I don't know if I have any physical connection to the people who were there at the Mayflower or if it was to somebody who came later. You know, quite frankly, it doesn't matter. A lot of people would get very precious about all that. Oh, I'm descended from so-and-so, right? Or I'm descended from this person who was a passenger on the Mayflower. What difference does that make, especially 400 years later? Any kind of physical genetic connection that we have to these people has been so diluted. If we go back in our family trees and our genealogy and find a connection to it, it's been so diluted it doesn't make any sense anymore. It's not worth talking about. But there are other ways that we could see ourselves as connected to them. And I feel a stronger kinship to them from a spiritual standpoint. forget about the physical standpoint. Any of us, by the way, regardless of the nation, tongue, or tribe, even if you're in another country, you could feel a kind of kinship with them if you see yourself as a pilgrim and a stranger in this land who is dependent on the providence of God. So I want to just briefly go over, you know, what is providence? How did the hand of providence guide and protect the pilgrims? What are the lessons for those of us who live today, especially for Americans who seek comfort and ease above everything else? And then how do we pass this on to our kids? That's why I've got this thing up here. I want to talk a little bit about what we used to do with our kids. So what is providence? Well, the dictionary will define it as care or preparation in advance, foresight, or divine direction. And I think all of these things are seen in the story of the pilgrims. We can see the care, the preparation in advance by God. We can see his foresight and his divine direction. I have a different definition of providence. I kind of think of it as a chain of stealth miracles, things that you wouldn't recognize as a miracle. They seem pretty ordinary. If you looked at any one of them, you'd say, well, you know, or even just a couple of them together, you'd say, well, it's just a coincidence that these things happen. Well, that's really nice, but it just happened. Happenstance. Now, you know, sometimes God will answer a prayer miraculously. Sometimes he'll heal people miraculously. I have two volumes of books about verified eyewitness stories about miraculous healings. Many of them just, you know, based on prayer. You know, some of them radio stations. One calls in and they're in serious condition. They put out a prayer and there's an amazing healing that happens after that. So God will sometimes do that. He still does that. He's still in the miracle business. I would always recommend that you read diaries of people who have been able to experience that type of provision and miraculous work. But a lot of times it's just a series of little things that happen. You know, George Mueller is a good example of somebody who had was used by God. Sometimes, you know, he would be out of money completely. He had orphans that he had stepped up to take care of, and he was absolutely penniless.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Now, orphans were a very big problem in Victorian England that Charles Dickens would write about all the time. He took them in to feed them, to give them an education, to give them a moral foundation. He took the responsibility for them. But he gave the responsibility for taking care of them to God. And so one day, just one example, but one of the most interesting examples, I think. But he had several of these. I won't say just this one, but they had absolutely no money. They had a couple of dozen orphans at the time. It got to be a very, very large enterprise eventually. And he never became rich. But he prayed because they had no food. And pretty soon there was a knock at the door, and there was a guy who's who just came with some bread. He had some extra bread, and it was left over, so he just brought it to the door. So they had bread. Shortly after that, he gets another knock on the door, and there's a guy with a milk truck, and it broke down in front of their house. And so they all had milk provided for them that day as well. Now, you could look at that. You could say, well, it's just a coincidence. Or you could say it's providential or miraculous. But I think, you know, when we look at a lot of ordinary things that happen, sometimes we can go back and we can say, well, what's the chance of that happening? What's the chance of this guy breaking down in front of his house with a lot of milk that's going to spoil, and he just gives it to them because he can't do anything with it? Or same thing with the guy with the bread. Well, you know, either one of those things could have happened. Yet for both of them to happen, and for both of them to happen after he had prayed for food and, you know, for bread and milk, that is a little bit different. So you want to call that a miracle? Or you want to call it providence? So without going into detail of the story of both the pilgrims and of Squanto, these are a couple of different stories that intertwine with each other. That's one of the things that I find interesting about the story of Thanksgiving and the pilgrims. They both went through tremendous hardship, and God interwove their stories together to combine them. You know, we talked about the Mayflower combination. This is the combination. The combination that God does, how he changes things in their life, shapes them by the difficult things in their life, and then brings them together to build something that's even bigger. It really embodies all of those previous things that I talked about, but a much more important way. The financial aspects of it, the combination aspects of it, the building of a common thing with disparate people, different backgrounds, different nations, tongues, and tribes. So, you know, when the pilgrims came, they had gone through a very difficult time of religious persecution. They had been jailed. They had lost property. They had to flee. They fled to Holland. There in Holland, they were left alone. It was a very rich and secular country, very much like America today, and in that regard. So they didn't bother with them. They frankly didn't care too much about it. And so the pilgrims stayed there for a while, but then they started to realize that there was something that was very seductive in this secular materialism there. There was also an immorality that was hanging around. They felt that they would lose their kids, so they decided that it would be better for them if they were to start a new life, a parallel society, if you will, and to do it in America. We don't have the option of immigration today, but we do have the option of being pilgrims and setting up a parallel society. You know, the Puritans had tried to purify their society by staying there. The pilgrim said, that's okay, we're going to go do our own thing. There are elements of both of those things that we should and could do today. But I think the pilgrim side of it is going to be the most important, the parallel society. And so, as I said, they'd suffered a great deal of persecution, and then as their journey began, there was even more persecution. There's even more difficulty. They had three ships worth of people and their possessions. One of them was not seaworthy. They had to turn back. They had to pack everybody in those two remaining ships. We have been to Plymouth, and we've seen the historical community that's there. We've gotten onto the ship. It was unbelievable. that they would have over 100 people there. It's like, I don't know what they did. Was it like standing room only? Did they stand the entire time? It was horrific, the conditions that they were under. Very long journey by sail. And, of course, they had storms. They had damage. The main mast was broken. They nearly were lost at sea. But they were able to get this together with God's help and providence and provision, and they were able to make the journey. But then, instead of being able to go to Northern Virginia, they were pushed ashore by more storms into the Massachusetts area, what would become the Massachusetts area. And so they knew they were in the wrong place. They tried to get out several times. They kept getting pushed back and pushed back and pushed back. So finally it's like, well, this is where we're supposed to be. We can't get anywhere else. That's why they put together the Mayflower combination. And then when they landed, they were met by an Indian who spoke perfect English. What a strange thing. They're absolutely amazed by that. And, of course, the area where they landed, another interesting coincidence, isn't it? The area where they landed was uninhabited. The village had been wiped out with disease. And the Indian who spoke English was Squanto. His journey had also been difficult. He had been captured, kidnapped, by some Spanish explorers or tradesmen or whatever they were, and taken back as a slave to Spain. Eventually, he was given to, he was taught agriculture and some other things by a Spanish monk, and then eventually he gets to England. He learns English, and he is put in a position of responsibility. He accompanies an English expedition to the area. They liked him enough that they gave him his freedom, but the heartbreak that he had was when he went back home, nobody survived. They'd all been wiped out by disease. And so he's there by himself, but he's learned English and he's been taught agricultural techniques that the pilgrims did not know. They were really more focused on why they wanted to go and, for religious liberty than they were in the practical aspects of it. They were ill-equipped to survive. But God used the hardship of both of these, both the pilgrims and of Squanto, so they could help each other. And, this is really the lesson of providence. If you look at the words of the hymn, God moves in mysterious ways. Think about how this is so similar to what the pilgrims went through and Squanto. God moves in mysterious ways, his wonders to perform. He plants his footsteps in the sea and rides upon the storm. Deep in unfathomable minds of never-failing skill, he treasures up his bright designs and works his sovereign will. Ye fearful saints, fresh courage take. The clouds you so much dread are big with mercy and shall break in blessings on your head. Judge not the Lord by feeble sense, but trust him for his grace. Behind a frowning providence, he hides a smiling face. His purposes will ripen fast, unfolding every hour. The bud may have a bitter taste, but sweet will be the flower. Blind unbelief is sure to err and scan his work in vain. God is his own interpreter, and he will make it plain. So how do we teach this important lesson? Over the years, I'll just give you some of our personal experience. I have people asking, what's some of the curriculum that you use? And I need to get some of that together. But there's always new things that are being put out and things that we used 20, 25 years ago. They're not available anymore. Focus on the Family still has a great audiobook dramatization of the story of Squanto. That's one that we listen to many times with our children, but it's a story that you would enjoy as an adult if you haven't heard it. It's a great production. I would highly recommend that, and I'm sure that is still available. We also used, and this is why I have this up here, we used this box. This is it's called Thanks Living Treasury. And I looked online, and I don't think that this is sold anymore, but that doesn't mean that you can't do something similar to it. It was, let me get out the book here.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
It was done by FamilyLife.com, a division of Campus Crusade for Christ. And it is set up over a week. So it's almost like a little Advent type of thing. Every day you'd set the kids down and you would go over one aspect of the story. And we did this when our kids were very young. And so it has some little props that were part of it, but you could make that yourself. You know, here's a ship. We would hand these things out because, you know, when the kids were very young, especially with boys, they like to have something physical that they can kind of, you know, look at and hold. And it's a nice 3D thing here. But, you know, you could give them any kind of thing like that, you know, to represent the ship. It doesn't have to be this particular thing. And so that would help to focus their attention. You would have, you know, the day that you're talking about the journey, you know, you got a ship here in the sea. You've got situations where you're talking about starvation, how Squanto helped them. You got a thing of corn. So stuff like that was very useful. That would help you to focus with kids. And as I said, every day there was another lesson. It kept them short because they've got a short attention span. And, you know, they're not going to sit through a 3-hour broadcast of the David Knight Show at that age. So, you know, different things like that. And one of the things that I really enjoy that we still have, there were also, cards. Again, you can find these pictures online, but there would be, you know, classic drawings of scenes from the pilgrims, the journey here by sea and all that type of thing. So there are things like that. And then there were some, every year at the end of, each one of these sections, you would, have the kids, if they were very young, too young to write anything down. You would say, you know, what are you grateful for? And it give you different categories in terms of what are you grateful for in terms of protection, or what are you grateful for in terms of freedom, or your health, or your salvation. And so you would put these things down. We would do it. The kids would do it. We'd date it, put our names on there. And it's interesting now, years later, to go back and look to see what was happening in our lives and how our kids perceive that. That's the importance of diaries. Now, I talked about the diary of George Mueller. He got a very detailed diary that went over a very long life and a lot of experiences. But if you really want to be able to see God working, again, because providence is kind of stealthy, you really do need to keep a diary. Talk about the challenges that you're going through. Talk about the things you prayed to God for. Talk about how those prayers were answered. Because God is still in that business. And so all of those things are things that I would recommend to you. But, of course, for adults, the records are there. You don't need to rely on PBS or the New York Times for history, please don't. They've got an agenda. They're not interested in real history. But the primary sources are always better for any kind of education, historical education. So, you know, you'll find online of Plymouth Plantation, you'll find the log of the Mayflower, you find a lot of stuff like that. Many other documents are available online. But again, think of it when you look at the diary of the pilgrims, and how do we know what happened in their life? How do we know how God moved in their life? Well, it's because they kept a diary. You'll want to do that for your own life. You'll want to do that for your own benefit, and perhaps for the benefit of children to come in the future, to be able to see how God worked in your life as he worked in the life of George Mueller or the pilgrims. So I'm going to play for you now the what Benjamin Franklin said as they were working to put together a constitution, and he was telling the Constitutional Convention, he said, you know, we need to ask for God's providence. God was with us through this last war, and we need his protection, his guidance in terms of putting together this constitution that we're going to do. And after that, we are going to have some interviews coming up. I just want to wish you a blessed Thanksgiving. I hope you enjoy the time with family and friends. I want to thank Daniel, a local friend, who gave us a fresh turkey, killed it and plucked it, and that's what we're going to be working on today. First time we've done a fresh, not frozen turkey, so I really do appreciate that. It's great to have friends, and he's kind of our Squanto. I just have to say. So have a blessed Thanksgiving. And this is pre-recorded, so I won't be able to interact with any tips or questions. But again, we're going to have some interviews coming up right after this. Here's Benjamin Franklin and what he told the Constitutional Convention.
Mr. President, the small progress that we've made after 4 or 5 weeks close attendance and continual reasonings with each other, our different sentiments on almost every question, several of the last producing as many no's as ayes, is methinks a melancholy proof of the imperfection of the human understanding. We indeed seem to feel our own want of political wisdom, since we've been running about in search of it. We've gone back to ancient history for models of government and examined the different forms of those republics which have been formed with the seeds of their own dissolution and now no longer exist. We have viewed modern states all around Europe but find none of their constitutions suitable to our circumstances. In this situation of this assembly, groping as it were in the dark to find political truth and scarce able to distinguish it when presented to us, how has it happened, sir, that we have not hitherto once thought of humbly applying to the Father of Lights to illuminate our understandings? In the beginning of the contest with Great Britain, when we were sensible of danger, we had daily prayer in this room for divine protection. Our prayers, sir, were heard, and they were graciously answered. All of us who were engaged in the struggle must have observed frequent instances of a superintending providence in our favor. To that kind providence, we owe this happy opportunity of consulting in peace on the means of establishing our future national felicity. Have we now forgotten that powerful friend? Or do we imagine that we no longer need his assistance? I have lived, sir, a long time. And the longer I live, the more convincing proofs I see of this truth, that God governs in the affairs of men. And if a sparrow cannot fall to the ground without his notice, is it probable that an empire can rise without his aid? We have been assured, sir, in the sacred writings, that except the Lord build, they labor in vain that build it. I firmly believe this, and I also believe that without his concurring aid, we shall succeed in this political building no better than the builders of Babel. We shall be divided. By our little partial local interests, our projects will be confounded, and we ourselves shall become a reproach and a byword down to the future age. And what is worse, mankind may hereafter, from this unfortunate instance, despair of establishing governments by human wisdom, and leave it to chance, war, and to conquest. I therefore beg leave to move that henceforth prayers, imploring the assistance of heaven and its blessings on our deliberation, be held in this assembly every morning before we proceed to business, and that one or more of the clergy of this city be requested to officiate in that service. Benjamin Franklin, Thursday, June 28, 1787, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania.
The Globalist Next Move. And now, The David Knight Show.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need. Critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel. All in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
All right, joining us now is Joe Bannister. I've interviewed Joe several times, had the pleasure to do it. A man of integrity. He's a former criminal investigator for the IRS. Now he is an agent for truth. That's the name of his website, as well as a podcast that he has. Thank you for joining us, Joe.
Thank you, David. It's great to see you again and talk with you and hook up with Travis again to see.
Yes.
See his smiling face.
Great to have you there. Tell people a little bit about where they can find you. First of all, where can they find Agent for Truth, and tell us a little bit about the podcast that's going on?
Yeah, the website is agentfortruth.com. I started out 23 years ago with a website called freedomabovefortune.com because I had to decide what was more important, you know, so-called fortune at the IRS with a secure pension and paycheck, or freedom, you know, for myself, my family, and for our country. But I thought Agent for Truth was a good little moniker there, since I was a special agent with the IRS and wanted to be the best agent for truth that I could be. So agentfortruth.com is the website. I actually wrote a book, if you don't mind me doing a shameless plug.
No, do it. Yeah.
Called Investigating the Federal Income Tax Report to the American People. And that's because in 1999, when I resigned, I wrote a preliminary report. So of course, now that 23 years have passed, there was a lot more news, including criminally prosecuting me, stripping me of my CPA certificate, all kinds of fun and games that the IRS can lash out at. So yeah, I have a podcast. It's actually just through Zoom, kind of a wonkish thing. We have attorneys and paralegals, and we speak, for years was about the income tax, of course, and taxation. But over the last couple of years, it's been all about COVID, because all the lockdowns and the tyranny seem to make the IRS maybe not pale in comparison, but certainly set it off to the side, because, you know, it's like the powers that be were fine through the monetary system and the taxation system, harvesting us like silkworms.
Yep.
And then all of a sudden it changed to, we need to kill them.
So. Yes, exactly. Yeah. Yeah. Now we're for dinner, you know, they want us to eat silkworms until we die, and they keep us in prison. I agree with you. Absolutely. And you know, I've said many times, Joe, that the, I think the IRS kind of set a lot of precedents of having a bureaucracy that was a law unto itself. And you know, Rand Paul and others have, in years past, would put out the Reins Act to rein in the bureaucracy, because we now have taxation without representation. We have regulation without representation. Nancy Pelosi said of Obamacare, we got to pass it so we can find out what's in it. They get these funding and they create a bureaucracy, and then they let them create the rules. And then after they create their rules, you don't have any presumption of innocence, you don't have due process, and they have no prohibition against excessive fines, because they say, well, these are rules, these aren't laws. You only have these types of legal protections if it's a law enacted by Congress. So we won't have Congress do any laws. We'll have the bureaucracy create the rules. And so I think that the IRS really took the lead in all of that. But now it's been weaponized by, especially in this medical martial law that we've had, it's been that same tactic now has been extended to all different aspects of our life, hasn't it?
Yes. In fact, I was as I can talk about, of course, as being criminally prosecuted. So they actually went through the process of indictment, prosecuting me, and I was deservedly acquitted. We could talk about that in a second. Mm-hmm. But in terms of the administrative state, the way that I was stripped of my CPA certificate, you know, that I earned from the state of California back in 1991, was through this administrative state. I basically had a administrative law judge from the Environmental Protection Agency to decide my fate in terms of a disbarment from, you know, being able to help clients before the IRS.
How did the EPA, how'd they get the EPA involved in that?
I guess he was the only one available, and they, but I think it had a connection with the Department of Homeland Security, because it wasn't a trial, it was more like a hearing, was mm-hmm. supposed to occur on Coast Guard Island in San Francisco Bay. Hmm. And that's a military installation where, you know, you can only come and go as they allow you. No witnesses. They really, you know, I called it the Shanghai on CGI for Coast Guard Island. So I just to point out that administrative state can really grind you up, and you go through all these appeals, but it's really not due process, not in the true sense.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. They really wiped that out. As we saw during the COVID stuff, you had the CDC claiming that they had control over foreclosures and evictions and things like that. You know, it's just amazing to see how they just pass the power around amongst themselves. And it really is taxation without representation, regulation without representation, and of course, trials really without any representation or legal due process. That's what's really dangerous about this. Tell people a little bit about your process and a little bit about your background, because it's been a while since you've been on, and we got a lot of new listeners who don't know how you went from being a criminal investigation agent for the IRS into somebody that they targeted.
Thank you. With all the white hair, it's been quite a while, but after graduating from college and recognizing that the accounting profession was quite boring, it took me a while to figure that out. I don't know why. But I also had lots of friends and relatives in law enforcement. And so I thought, well, how can I match this, accounting degree and experience with law enforcement? And so, of course, an investigative role came about. So I applied to the FBI and the IRS Criminal Investigation Division, and the FBI actually had a hiring freeze. I qualified to be sent to Quantico, Virginia, but due to a hiring freeze, I was basically in this holding pattern. Then the IRS called, and I, granted, the FBI has gotten a worse and worse reputation as the decades roll along, but back then in the 90s, at least to carve away a Ruby Ridge and, as I say, it was an unfolding process. But compared to the IRS, I thought, well, the FBI would definitely be a better agency. But there was a hiring freeze. So the idea of working for the IRS kind of grew on me because it was a special agent position, a criminal investigator, gun and a badge. You're working on money laundering cases, really detailed, cases with other agencies. And, I'm granted tax and accounting was my background, so it seemed like a pretty good fit. So in November 93, I was sworn in as an IRS special agent. And just for the audience, the IRS has a civil functions where there's audits and levies and things like that. And then they have a criminal investigation function where when proof of an intentional violation of a law can be, investigated, then you'd have a criminal investigator who would do that, much like a police officer would investigate a crime scene, or whether it be Secret Service investigating counterfeiting or whatever it might be. So the IRS
does it have to be something associated with a crime, or is it something that is tax? Was it evasion as opposed to?
Avoidance.
Yeah. Avoidance is, I can't remember which is like the approval versus the authorization for the vaccines. So, it's okay. And it's part of the game to try to avoid your taxes. And that's encouraged. But if you evade your taxes, then is that when they get the criminal people involved? Or do they still have for evasion? Do they still have some of the, non-criminal auditors, involved with that?
Well, that's the way it's supposed to work. In other words, if you don't have a mens rea, you don't have a criminal intent, then it should be in the purview of avoidance, which even the Supreme Court, numerous courts have ruled tax avoidance is not a crime. In fact, it's expected. Mm-hmm. But the way another mission creep for the IRS is even tax avoidance has become, a punishable matter. Mm. Oh. So, it's something for people to keep in mind. But anyway, the difference between the two is that tax avoidance is, utilizing the law as written to minimize or eliminate taxes as much as possible. Tax evasion is knowing that you have a known legal duty to obey some law or, provide such information and then purposely not doing so. Willfully is actually the word that they use.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So when we look at this explosion in the IRS, and let's continue on with your story. I don't want to get away with your story. Let's go back and talk about your journey. You go to work for the IRS, and then what happens?
So 1993, and I expected to spend a full 20-year career there because as a law enforcement position, it's not a 30-year retirement. It's a 20-year retirement. Hmm. You work 50-hour work weeks, so you're getting basically a 25% premium in your pay. Plus, the extra pay for, being a law enforcement kind of person, gun and badge and all that. So I really expected to spend a 20-year career there. And again, because the, you know, you're investigating money laundering and, you know, really intricate crimes, and, you know, protecting the treasury as you're, you know, you're thinking you're doing that. And
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free-to-play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
And so I believe those functions are necessary. And so my expectations were kind of changed when about 3 years into my career there, I was listening to a talk radio show. And that's why I'm so, people like David Knight are so admirable, because you got those, the truth pills, dispensing in big bottles. But anyway, I was an avid talk radio listener, and so they had a guest on the show talking about the income tax and the Federal Reserve and, you know, all the things that back in the 90s and prior to that were just thought of as, oh, the kookiest subject matter, right?
Yeah, I know. Yeah, we'd run people for office with the Libertarian Party, and we'd start out by saying, we want to abolish the income tax and the IRS. And they're like, oh, they're just radical. You don't even listen to these people, right? You know, so, yeah, I know.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, the pioneers. So thank goodness for the pioneers, the trailblazers. So, anyway, listened, and then it was on a talk show of a guy that was always telling the truth about every other thing. So I thought, well, why would he lie to us now? Why would he have a guest on that would lie to his audience? So that's what got me started. So I spent 2 years off duty, you know, evenings and weekends investigating whether or not these claims about the income tax, were actually true. And the basic claim was that the IRS, the income tax was not actually required to be paid by most Americans because no federal law ever made them liable to pay the tax. And the IRS's own instructions, their own regulations state that if you're liable for a tax, then you have all these requirements that you have to follow. But it's that key juncture, are you liable? And, you know, nowadays, any American can search the internet and search through the entire thick Internal Revenue Code. Old guys like us would call it thick, right? It's just on a computer screen now. But you can search through all these laws and find out, well, where do I become liable? How does this happen? The IRS says, I have to do all these things if I'm liable for the tax. Let's see where that happens. And then you Americans who do the research come to find out that, oh, wow, I'm not liable for the income tax. Is that some kind of an oversight?
I remember for years they would send out the package. I don't know if they do this anymore, but they would say, you know, the income tax is a voluntary thing, and we really do appreciate you volunteering. And I used to think that was the most cynical thing, you know. But it's just like you would get the printed paper maps, And it would always have something there from the governor of whatever the state was, reminding you that driving is a privilege. Well, the IRS would always send this thing out and say, oh, and thank you for complying with this voluntarily. And all the rest of us like, what are they talking about? I know what's going to happen if I don't volunteer, you know, they're going to voluntarily haul me away, you know?
And that's kind of like, you know, when they say if you're blindfolded and there's an elephant in the room, but you don't know it, and you touch and there's a trunk, and you touch and there's a big toenail. And so those kinds of clues, even from the commissioners who would write those introductory letters each year, that's just one of many, parts of the elephant to indicate how illegitimate, you know, the IRS's enforcement and administration of the income tax actually is. And of course, I always hesitate. I'm not urging people like the Pied Piper, go out and battle with the IRS, you know?
Yeah. That's the problem. Even if they don't have authority, they got a lot of power, you know? And we see power abused all the time without authority. I mean, look at the last couple of years here, how they've abused without authority, they've abused their power. It's absolutely amazing. And you're talking about how thick it's become. And that's one of the ways that they can really control you. If the law is sufficiently complex so that nobody knows what it is, really, then it's the same as having no law at all. And that really has been kind of the operating principle of much of the government, not just the IRS. But, you know, they bury everything in so many levels of detail that nobody really knows what it is. It's not a simple statement like we have in the Bill of Rights. And instead, they create these complicated prevarications to erase our Bill of Rights and our Constitution.
Yes, and I think also your listeners and yourself will be fascinated by this little fact. I'm sure everyone's heard, especially with the COVID, how people are accused of being, you know, mass misinformation spreaders.
Oh yeah.
Well, the IRS actually wrote the book on that. They would designate people as illegal tax protesters if you point out an actual black letter law to the IRS auditor, for example. They'll tell you it's a frivolous argument. So smearing people with, labels like illegal tax protester or tax denier, the book was written by the IRS in the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s. So, you know, all they had to do was dust that off. Fauci could just dust off all those policies and practices and, dismissed. Of course, thankfully, there's enough courageous people that they can be called any name in the book. They don't care. The truth is the truth. And eventually, the purveyors of the lies start scurrying for the dark corners of the room.
And we're at that point right now. I spent the beginning of this program talking about, hey, it looks like it's turned. They've decided that they can't hide the massive pile of bodies everywhere, and everybody's turning on each other. Well, he was the one who did it. I didn't do it. You know, that type of thing. All the finger pointing has now started, which is a good move for our side, as long as they don't try to escalate this with some other kind of attack or with a war to try to wipe all this stuff out. But I'm curious because, you know, Joe, once you challenge them, especially from the inside, things must have gotten really bad for you.
They did. I mean, I was, not to toot my own horn, but in terms of awards and promotions and everybody asking, oh, wow, you must be going to go into management. You know, you're just a hard charger. And so everything was really great until I just kind of raised my hand sheepishly and said, hey, you know, I've been doing this research about the income tax and trying to dismiss these claims by these so-called tax protesters. And sure, there's some strange stuff out there. But, you know, I'm a CPA. You trust me to carry this gun and a badge around. These are the things that I found. And, you know, given that I took an oath to support and defend the Constitution, and you did too, you know, to my supervisors, what about this? I mean, I really think I need to get this resolved so that I can be assured that I am actually abiding by my oath. And, well, the answer I got was, you probably already can figure it out. They were not happy. They would not answer any of my questions. They would not even address my report, which is, you know, this is what evolved, but originally it was a 99-page report provided to my supervisors, just highlighting some of the concerning issues. And they sent my inquiries up this chain of command up to the assistant commissioner for criminal investigation. And the word came back down, no answer of your questions. We'll provide you with the paperwork to tend to your resignation.
Wow.
Took my gun and badge away, kept my pager for a week. Don't call us, we'll call you. And then I really decided that because I had had a really, frankly, a stellar reputation, that if I stayed with the IRS, then they would have made sure that they ruined it.
Yeah.
And then who would believe me? So I actually resigned, on my birthday, February 25th, 1999. And I don't know how many listeners know this, but my birthday, February 25th, and the income tax birthday, February 25th, 1913, we share the same day. So, maybe I was meant to blow a few whistles.
Wow. So did they just let you, resign? And that was, there was criminal charges against you though, right?
Yeah, resigned in 99. And then I had, no mainstream media attention immediately. I mean, you'd think if a criminal investigator for the IRS was blowing the whistle, that the mainstream media would care. Well, at least people thought that in the old days. So that didn't happen. But then the internet was taking off, in the late 90s and early 2000s. So I was getting a lot of attention. And then eventually the mainstream media did pay attention to me. And that's another thing I found out about the way the government and the media work. They pay attention to you right before they take you down.
Yes.
So I was on 60 Minutes 2, there's a 60 Minutes and a 60 Minutes 2. So I made it to 60 Minutes 2. I was interviewed by the New York Times a number of times. C-SPAN, MSNBC, all kinds of media organs. And I'm thinking, wow, they're actually paying attention to, not to me, but, to the issue. I mean, we traveled to Congress, to the White House, the Supreme Court, trying to petition for a redress of our grievances. As a reward for all my efforts, I was indicted in November of 2004 on four felony counts. Three counts were preparing three false federal income tax returns for a client. And the fourth count, for good measure, was conspiracy to defraud the United States of America. So my trial was in June of 2005. I had about 7 months to prepare. And, I was looking at, anywhere from probably 3 to 5, 6 years in federal prison if I was convicted.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure, but I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself. And change literally a child's life. Change the world. And you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
And, the basic premise was that I prepared these tax returns on behalf of a client. He had already paid taxes and was seeking a refund.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a process that you follow, and that's why he hired me, to make sure that we followed the process to the letter.
Mm-hmm.
As I mentioned about tax avoidance and tax evasion, they can turn tax avoidance, seeking a refund, for example, into a crime.
Mm-hmm.
And so they call it false refund claim. I was the one that prepared the tax return, so therefore I conspired with the client. Of course, none of that was true. They didn't, even their experts on the witness stand, my attorneys walked them through just about every line of the tax returns and said, you know, is this line false? Is this line false? Is this line false? And there was nothing false about them. And so the jury's kind of scratching their heads like, why is this guy being prosecuted? The prosecution can't even tell us he did anything bad. So I was acquitted in June of 2005 of those charges. And then, of course, the whole IRS civil function descended upon me with audits. And then the CPA disbarment thing was percolating along. And, of course, that's one of the many reasons why I don't, you know, act like the Pied Piper's telling people, hey, go battle with the IRS, because
right.
I just don't think most people are I wasn't even really equipped for it, but you know, that's just reach out to the Lord and know that he'll protect you, and not necessarily from pain or suffering, but in terms of protection of your soul and you know, your desire for truth.
Yes, that's right. That is the thing that matters, and that is the final court and judgment that matters, and that's what gives us the leverage to make these kinds of changes. Well, you know, I really, and I understand, because I've talked to people who went to battle with the IRS. I knew one guy who went to prison, and his, you know, what happened to him in trial was he went in, he thought he found something in the law that you know, shut everything down, and so he was going to make that the issue at the trial, and he brings up, he goes, well, what about this? And I said, no, we're not going to talk about that. Next question, you know, and that was it. And
yes.
He couldn't even find anybody who's going to represent him. So he does it, you know, himself, and they wouldn't answer the first question. They just shut everything down and wouldn't consider anything. Did they try to, with your situation, they try to bring enough charges that they offered you a plea bargain instead of having a jury trial? Was that?
You know, interestingly, and according to my attorneys who had had much more experience with trials and pleas, they never offered me a plea. It's almost like they knew what fingers I would show them if they had done that.
bother with it.
But they said it was really unprecedented that there wasn't even a plea offer. So they must have, you know, done some kind of study of my personality or something that, you know, I... Wow. Granted, you know, there's people that are guilty of crimes that say, you know, I didn't do it.
Mm-hmm.
But I didn't, there was nothing untoward at all. You know, I wouldn't sign a document under penalty of perjury unless I knew that it was true, correct, and complete. And of course, the trial proved that they all were, mm-hmm. but they charged me anyway. In fact, the special agent that I used to work with who investigated me, I have it from a very good source that he actually recommended that I not be prosecuted. And when a special agent, you know, actually any investigator, does an investigation, it's not a foregone conclusion that they're going to find that there's a crime. Granted, mm-hmm. Grand juries indict ham sandwiches, et cetera, but there is actually, you come to the end of the road and the investigator is supposed to give a recommendation, should there be prosecution or not. And I've never been able to get my hands on the report, but a very reliable source said that the special agent actually recommended that I not be prosecuted because he could not find, you know, evidence that the elements of the crime had been satisfied. And yet the DOJ, the IRS, you know, all the bureaucracy decided, well, we're going to prosecute him anyway, because we can't have this wayward guy telling the public that there might be an alternative to, you know, our government position.
Just pure vindictiveness. And of course, yeah. The reason that they'll do that is because they don't want to, they don't want to lose a trial, you know, and so they're looking, a lot of, you know, what they do with a grand jury is to, judge, the, strength of their case. And so, you know, they don't, nobody wants to go into this as an investigator or a prosecutor or whatever and lose. And so that's why they make those types of recommendations. But the higher ups just wanted to get even with that. Tell us a little bit about your take on what is happening with this expansion of the IRS, because now with this new bill that just got passed, they're going to take the budget that is currently $12 billion, and they're going to add $80 billion to it. So it's going to be, you know, about 7.5 times bigger than it is right now. From having been there in the past, how do you think this is going to play out? I mean, there's been a lot of talk, Joe, about the IRS agents who are carrying guns and that type of thing. I know there'll be a lot of agents that'll just be doing audits, like from a CPA standpoint. But how do you think this is going to play out in terms of how it's going to affect us as individuals?
Well, if I could start with the criminal investigation component, just because I'm most familiar with that. But when I was with the IRS, there was, I think, between 2,800 and 3,000 IRS special agents. And now, or at least until this bill and the preparations for it, it's about 2,300. So the headcount actually went down by about 700. Mm-hmm. I think even Rhino Republicans were hesitant to, you know, beef up budgets for the IRS because, you know, the public, at least they're going to, that kind of information is going to percolate down to the average Joe. Mm-hmm. So what's amazing, though, is now, of course, with a barely or, you know, democratically controlled Congress and a president that'll sign the bill, this was basically their only chance to do what they probably wanted to do for, you know, 30, 40 years.
Yeah.
To really just pad in the billions and have all the personnel, because the ultimate goal really is fear so that people self-censorship, right? Mm-hmm. They self-report, they pay more, they don't fight a notice that's erroneous, like telling them that they owe more taxes. They want to cultivate that fear so they get the compliance without really having to do anything.
That's right. And it's been very effective. I mean, when you look at an army of 87,000 new agents, not all of them carrying guns, but you can destroy somebody's life with a pencil and a paper, right? And so when you look at that being unleashed on people, and when you look at the idea that the Democrats want to raise taxes, and for the most part, even though there were some corporate taxes in there that got raised, for the most part, they want to raise the revenue by squeezing it out of people with the current tax law, by using the IRS. I think that's the thing that is really concerning and intimidating and designed to intimidate people.
Right. And they're really effective at using little buzz phrases like tax the rich, pay your fair share.
That's right.
And, yeah, you know, these Pavlovian, they get the Pavlovian response, you know, that when you have to be afraid that in a jury, thankfully, I didn't have such a jury. I had a thinking jury, but the jury that's like, well, I got to pay my fair share. He got to pay his, and they convict you, you know, for that, as opposed to whether you actually violated the law. Uh-huh. But the intimidation is the go-to way that they get things done. I guess what I'm concerned about is, well, for one, the good news I'll say first, it's going to take quite a bit of time to ramp up to onboard, mm-hmm. even if they do have the budget for 87,000 new people. It's going to take a few years to ramp them up where they're trained and they're actually then making phone calls and sending letters. And so in the meantime, you know, that's more Americans that can wake up and get the law repealed or take away their budget or, and these are stopgap, right? I mean, obviously the agency shouldn't even exist.
Yes.
But I mean, until,
and I guess that's a question. You know, we can't get the GOP to do anything to really change this structure. You talked about how it was created, 1913. You know, what did we do before that? I've mentioned many times that Thomas Jefferson said and bragged about in his second inaugural address that they had eliminated useless offices and spending in his first administration. And so he said, no American now, no American, no farmer, no laborer, no mechanic knows the tax man. They didn't have any internal taxes at all. They had all the government was run off of taxes at the border. But when we had this globalization come in the early part of the 20th century, they completely reversed that to make this something coming after Americans internally. That the internal revenue, you know, they'd had external revenue. Now it becomes internal revenue in lockstep with the Federal Reserve and focusing on Americans rather than, you know, collecting the the revenue at the border. So I don't really think that the GOP is going to do anything to even pull back this increase. Do you?
No, I'm just saying, like, you know, the ramp up will take a while, and we just have to keep growing our numbers. And, you know, David Knight needs to have, 10 and 20 and 30 million listeners and viewers. And,
I would tell them all this stuff if I did. Yeah. There's a guy that's come out as a whistleblower in terms of talking about how this is going to impact people. William Hink, I'm sure that you've seen what he's had to say, a former lawyer for the IRS. And he's saying, no, they're going to focus on lower income people. He said that's what they've always done. And, of course, they're not going to be able to raise the kinds of money. And he goes through it. He says, yeah, they're saying they're going to raise this much revenue. Well, there isn't that much revenue if you're going to talk about people making over $400,000. There's absolutely no way they could squeeze that kind of revenue out of them. They're going to have to go to the people with lower incomes. What was your experience when you were at the IRS? I mean, how was this how was the split between the middle class and the poor people and wealthy people in terms of audits, in terms of the way they come after them?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want to be honest with you for a second about how an act of compassion really feels. A couple of years ago, I made the choice to partner with an amazing organization called Compassion International. Why? Because I wanted to sponsor a child in need. It was a nice idea, sure. But I had no idea just how much that simple act would change my life as well. I sponsored Nadia and got to watch her life change right in front of my eyes, going from starving literally alone on the streets to getting the health care and education she needs to reach her God-given full potential. I got to be a part of that change, and the light of that compassion not only illuminates in her, it illuminates now in me. That is the power of compassion. The light of Christ shines on all of us. Feel it for yourself and change literally a child's life. Change the world, and you also change yourself. You can sponsor a child today. Visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
You ain't heard about Moto Casino? Moto has real Vegas slots. Any game you can find on the floor in Vegas, you can play it on Moto. I like my slots hot. Moto's free to play, like food stamps. In line at the grocery store, at a funeral, in traffic. Keep your eyes on the road. Hop on Moto Casino. Moto Casino got jackpots that are bigger than my belly. Moto, America's hottest free to play social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino.
Well, there would definitely be an effort to go after the we call them poster children, the Leona Helmsleys, you know, the.
Mm-hmm. And there's always one of those every year around April 15th. Isn't it interesting?
Right. Yeah. We call it, with gallows humor, call it tax terrorism season.
Yeah, who's going to be the poster child this year for you better pay your taxes, you know?
Yeah. That's so there would be an uptick, like basically the management was looking, even on a smaller scale, not the Willie Nelsons and the Pete Roses, but still on a smaller scale locally, you know, okay, timing of the indictments and the press releases and just cultivating that fear. Of course, they didn't call it that, but ultimately that was just, you know, they know that they can only get so much enforcement out there, but they know how much fear and intimidation they can generate by the publicity. And so that's always been the priority. But, you know, I worked on some famous cases that may have been famous around the Bay Area, you know, or California at the time. But lots of, you know, really people that weren't very wealthy were certainly targeted. This investigation that we would do, I believe they still do. You probably heard of the Earned Income Tax Credit.
Mm-hmm.
And every year the Congress would want us to go out, the special agents, because you'd be knocking on doors, so they wanted to have the armed agents do so. And we would find massive fraud in the EITC program. Mm-hmm. And we'd report it to Congress, and Congress would just keep increasing the budget on it every year. And of course, you've heard about all the Social Security number fraud that goes on. I mean, literally, it is such a pathetic, ugly, gross system. I don't, you know, I'm still out at 23 years trying to wake people up. I don't know why the American people put up with it. And I think, you know, if there were enough, we could change it. And so that's why you and I, you know, beat our heads against the wall, just trying to tell the truth and hope that people will listen. Because in a sense, we're inflicting our own punishment, you know, by not gathering together and saying we've had enough.
I agree. Yeah, that is exactly it. And they take advantage of people. That's one of the things that Hank and others were saying, was that they typically go for low-hanging fruit. They go for people who don't have a lot of money, who cannot, and they guess they're not going to go out and hire a lawyer to fight back against this like rich people would. And so they just know that's going to be low-hanging fruit. It's going to be easy for them to get it. And we've seen that with civil asset forfeiture as well. When they would go around in Chicago, most of the cars and things like that that are stolen have a low value. They're right around $1,000 because they charge somebody, if they want to fight this, they have to come up with $900 to start the civil proceedings to try to prove that they're innocent. Same thing we see with the IRS, right? You're guilty and you have to prove that you're innocent. And so they take the cars from these people who have cars that are only worth a little bit more than they would have to pony up in order to contest this. And so as a result, they just walk away with this stuff left and right. And I think that's what's happening a great deal with this as well. Intimidating people and especially preying on people they know aren't going to fight back. So what do we tell people? What is it that people need to know about the IRS? Because, you know, I don't want to encourage people to go directly into battle with this corrupt organization that has a lot of power. But what do we do in terms as citizens to try to change this thing? What would you suggest, and what do you tell your listeners about this?
Well, certainly from a, you know, I realize the frustration of, you know, writing to your congressman and whatever it might be, because they won't listen. But, you know, I still think you got to do that, and you got to encourage others to do that. They have to hear from people that they're upset.
I agree.
Another thing is I would say, don't, you know, if you can help it, find some time that rather than watching a football game or, you know, some pastime, we all need our R&R. But learn about your rights. Learn about the limits to their even over the boundaries of authority. What to do if an agent knocks at your door? Mm-hmm. What do you have to do? What can you do? Don't give them the rope to hang you with it. And that's probably the, you know, phone calls and house visits or office visits by IRS agents. Certainly, if there's going to be 87,000 new agents pounding the pavement, they're going to have a lot better opportunity to do knock and talks.
Mm-hmm.
And if people realize they don't have to even open the door. I mean, why do people have Ring cameras and stuff on their front porch? You know, I mean, I read an article yesterday. There was actually like a next door kind of a thing, and the woman says, the man covered my camera, so I opened the door to find out what he was doing. Like, what? You know, don't open the door. You know, learn. There's videos out now about like the ATF. You probably heard how they're doing knock and talks.
Yes.
more frequently.
Yes.
Because somebody bought two guns, all of a sudden it's an arsenal, or, you know, some BS premise that they give to fish.
Yeah. Show me your guns. I want to make sure that you still got your guns, that these weren't straw purchases. That's what they do. And,
right.
And it is surprising, you know, people and some of the people who did record this on, you know, doorbell camera, then said, you know, I knew this was wrong. I knew they didn't have a search warrant, but I was so intimidated by it. And that's the way this works, the way the IRS works as well. And if they're going to do that over guns, you know they're going to do this with, you know, 87,000 new agents. You know that there's going to be a tremendous amount of this. You know, I think that's very sound advice, to know what your legal rights are, what their legal authority is before this happens. Because, again, that once they get these agents in, it's going to take a little while. It's going to ramp up exponentially, and your chances of having an encounter like that are going to go up exponentially as well. I've talked in the past to a father who was trapped in this CPS type of stuff, and Dwight Mitchell, and he went through the ringer with this thing, and he set up an organization to try to educate people about what their rights are with this. And that was one of the first things he told them, was do not talk to these people. Everybody wants to initially talk to them and say, yeah, let me just show you that I didn't do anything wrong. You know, that's your first approach to it. That's not what this is about. This is they're fishing for things, and they will misconstrue what you're telling them for their own purposes. So he says you do not talk to them. That isn't a sign that you're guilty. It's a sign that you understand what this process is really about. And I think that's something very important for people to understand about these this new army of IRS agents that are going to be knocking on your door, ringing your phone.
Yeah, have your, you know, I don't, maybe technology's advanced quite a bit, but you know, you can monitor your calls when they call on the answering machine and you can hear who it is, and it's usually a telemarketer, but it might be an IRS agent, it might be somebody pretending to be an IRS agent, even knocking at the doors. I'm sure there'll be whole new scams of people pretending to be IRS agents. So there's multiple reasons why a person doesn't need to even open the door. There's no crime against not talking. And, you know, and again, in the meantime, spend some time, you know, maybe on my website. I have links to other websites, your website, listen to your shows. Cause even when you're interviewing CPS, victims and, and gun victims, it's really all the same.
It is
dance card. You know, it's about, you do have rights. I mean, you know, as much as I've been, harassed, over my whistleblowing, you know, I still had a trial and there was a jury. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I didn't have to, in fact, I didn't testify and I was still acquitted. I was able to remain silent because the Constitution acknowledges that I have that right. So, you know, we need to use the rights that we still have to fight for the rights that have been taken away. And just fight, you know, the entire way, and recognize that the government, you know, isn't your friend. Mm-hmm. And the investigators have, they're looking for more hash marks to get their promotions. And they just do not have your best interest. Now, there are some, you know, that, like, I believe I went to a search warrant once as an IRS special agent. And, you know, I was smiling and not like, you know, nasty kind of a smile, like, oh, we're getting you. But just like I had a demeanor like I do now, you know, just like I'm trying to do the right thing. Mm-hmm. And these other senior agents wanted to take a bunch of stuff, a bunch of assets that weren't on the search warrant, to be taken. Mm-hmm. They basically just wanted to just ream these people by taking all their jewelry.
Wow.
And I happened to be the asset forfeiture coordinator at the time. And I said, we're not taking that stuff. We have no authority to take it. And he says, yes, we are. You know, I'm senior to you. I said, I'm the asset forfeiture coordinator. And I have to inventory the stuff and explain and justify why we took it. We're not taking it.
Well, good for you. Yeah, as civil asset forfeiture, that's one of the big things that's come in. And, of course, you know, IRS as well as the DEA, all these different organizations are doing it. Now we have in California even a sheriff's office that is actually robbing armored cars under the pretense that this is contaminated money, even though the marijuana facility was legal there in California under federal law. It's not, so we're going to steal everything in your armored car. It's just incredible what is happening now. But, you know, one of the things, and I want to get your take on this, Stuart, or Joe, is that, you know, we have...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
We have a government that claims that the deficit doesn't matter anymore. This is a claim that was made during COVID by Republicans, by Trump and the other people who signed on to this. The only person who seemed to have a problem with the $3 trillion plus expenditure was Thomas Massie, and they were furious with him, trying to get him thrown out, especially Trump. And so with the Democrats, they've embraced this modern monetary theory, and they're adamant about the fact that the deficits don't matter whatsoever. And so then the question becomes, why do we even need to have any taxes? Is it just to take away all of our disposable income? I think that's one of the things that needs to be pointed out to some of these Republicans. It's like, if you guys don't really care that deficit matters, why are you pushing us on these taxes? They really don't have a rationale even for doing this, because they're nowhere near balancing the budget. And they're never going to balance the budget. And they know that. That's why some of them are talking about having a constitutional convention in order to try to force a balanced budget. But, of course, that in and of itself is a very dangerous thing. But they know that there isn't the will to balance the budget. So why are we doing the taxes?
No, I totally agree. In fact, I was a CPA, got hired by the IRS, and all these things that that, as we joked, were out in the conspiracy theory territory, we're all completely factual as far as the monetary system, the real purpose for the income tax to, you know, kind of scrape off all that excess money printing to keep inflation under control. And when the government can, you know, borrow endlessly from the Federal Reserve to fund its operations, why is there a need for an income tax? Well, of course, it's because the Federal Reserve prints the money out of thin air, mm-hmm. and then lends it to the government, and the government's role is to, you know, the point of a gun, bring the tax money back to the Federal Reserve in terms of interest payments.
I agree.
So, you know, it's too bad the public, there's some complexities to it, but, you know, books like Creature from Jekyll Island by G. Mm-hmm. Edward Griffin, mm-hmm. America Freedom to Fascism, a film that I was in back in 2006, there's all kinds of ways, really simple ways on the internet for people to get the basics. They just have to take the time to do so.
And, I agree. You're talking about J. Edward Griffin's book, Creature from Jekyll Island, and some of these other things. I think we're about ready to have another resetting of the dollar as a, in the same way that Nixon took us off of the gold standard and put us on to the petrodollar and that type of thing. Central bank digital currency. And, you know, when I think about the central bank digital currency and their ability to preemptively control everything that we spend and to be able to confiscate money just at a flick of a switch from us, what happens to the IRS when they go to a central bank digital currency? Are these people going to become like Uber drivers when they go to fully automated taxi cabs, Johnny cabs?
Well, one thing you can bet on, at least in all my experience and research, is that they're very forward thinking in the government. And so, in fact, like in 1998, when I was there, they had the IRS Restructuring and Reform Act. So the oxymoronic, names of bills like the Inflation Reduction Act, mm-hmm. The Restructuring and Reform Act was not about restructuring and reforming the IRS. It was really about hiding their tracks from stuff they had done in the past. But they always put, you know, the pearls around the pig's neck, to make it look good. But I have a feeling that those 87,000 agents in this uptick in IRS, it's about being there and being ready when the turmoil hits, mm-hmm. with the bad currency, and knowing that people are going to maybe not pay their tax bills so that they can survive. Yes. And they need these agents who are going to be there ready to take your property if you don't cooperate, even if you don't have the money to pay.
I agree. Yeah, taking your property. And here's sort of here's where I put on my conspiracy theory tinfoil hat. I think that's what's going to happen is this army of IRS agents are being prepared to try to take assets away from people who are going to be outside of the CBDC. That's going to be something that people are going to try to avoid like the plague, even more so than any plague that they invent. I mean, I wasn't trying to avoid the plague myself because I didn't believe there was a plague when it was going through. But I think that when they push this CBDC through, they're going to have two different aspects of it. One of them is going to be, okay, here's the thing, and we want you to do this, and then we're going to incentivize it for a little while and try to get as many people using it as we'll do it, as we saw with the vaccines, right? They're going to say, well, this is great. You ought to have it. It's going to save your life. Then the next step is we'll have a lottery here, and you have a chance of winning lots of money if you take the vaccine. I think the correlation to that with the CBDC will be that they will say, well, we're going to make it so much easier for you. They might even throw in some cash bonuses if you use the CBDC at the beginning. But then you're going to get to the point where they're going to try to coerce you. And I think that's where this army of IRS agents are coming in. I think that's the forward thinking part about it. People are looking at this and saying, wow, they're really going to make our life hell with this. I think the life, making your life hell is going to be using this army of IRS agents to attack us if we try to have an economy that is outside of the CBDC. Do you agree? What do you think?
I do very much. But yeah, as I know you're on board with this, we're Americans. We don't give up.
That's right.
We might be collectively way too apathetic. We've let the cancer grow way too far throughout the body. But we don't give up, and you know, people like yourself, all the whistleblowers relating to the COVID jabs and the gain of function research and all that stuff. That's from brave people who said, I need to tell my neighbor. I need to tell my neighbor because I care about my neighbor that this shot is a death shot, or that this income tax is a scam, or that the IRS agents, you don't have to talk to them. Get out, spend a little more time on protecting yourself and your family, because the resources are out there, mm-hmm. including the David Knight Show, mm-hmm. and maybe a little less of the football games and things like that.
Yeah.
and you might find that we can actually effect a change for the better.
I agree. Yeah, I think it's going to be it's going to have to be an education thing, and we're going to have to warn people about the possibility of how this is going to be used. Tell them about how this is currently being abused, and it's going to be a life-saving issue, just like this vaccination thing was. And we go back and we look at this, and it breaks my heart to see all the people who have been killed and injured with this, and who continue to be misguided with all this, and continue to live in fear. And we have to push back against this. And I think a key thing is going to be educating people around us and our group of people that we have influence with, as well as we can. And it's also going to be making sure that we have good people in local offices. I've been telling people, Joe, that I think it's far more important who your sheriff is than who's sitting in the Oval Office, because that's mm-hmm. really going to be more protection for you, or it's going to make things a lot worse for you if the wrong person gets in, depending on who is in the Oval Office or who is even in the state capitol. It's going to be the local officials who will have your back, or who will be beating you on the back at a higher rate. And I think that's the key thing. You look at 87,000 new IRS agents, and yet there's a lot more local law enforcement officials at the sheriff's level and things like that that could protect us against this if they understand that we're all in this together.
Yes, in fact, maybe you've interviewed him once or more than once, Richard Mack, former sheriff
yes. mm-hmm.
in Arizona. He's got the Constitutional Sheriffs and Peace Officers Association, or CSPOA,
.org.
And that's exactly the kind of, at least an organized effort. Any effort is good.
Yeah.
But that's an organized effort to reach out to each and every sheriff across the country, excess of 3,000 of them.
Mm-hmm.
Because one of the many things I admire about you is reminding people about, acting locally.
Mm-hmm.
How much change you can really affect, locally just with a sheriff's office.
Okay.
So, people might check out.
And that's a key thing. We can be caught up so much in the personalities and the politics, and they want to direct us, continually to Washington, where we have the least ability to affect anything, because it is so distant from us, and not just geographically, but there's so many different levels, away from us that it is very difficult to have any kind of a chance to change anything there. And the whole situation is very rigged. Now, even if we want to have an honest election, that's something that we're going to have to work for at the local level. They don't want us having relationships with each other. They want us connected to them in a centralized way through Zoom and other things like that, rather than having face-to-face meetings with other people. And that's going to be the key thing. But I really do think that that is the way, one of the most dangerous ways that this army of IRS agents are going to be used, and that is to try to shut down any alternative economy that would exist. And I think that's going to go for cryptocurrency. I think it's going to go for people who try to do anything in terms of a barter and local community. I think that's what they've got this army of agents for. That's my spidey sense about this, if you will. Can't prove it yet, but I think we watch this space, and I think we're going to see some evidence coming. Well, it's great talking to you, Joe. We're going to have to get you on again. And
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about Alejandra. She lives in a remote community with very few resources and little to no health care. So when Alejandra gets sick, her parents have no real options, no doctors in their community, and no money for real medical care. By the third day, her body was shutting down. She woke up and just long enough to tell her mom, "I can't take the pain anymore. I can't keep going." Her parents drove hours to find a doctor who tried everything, but she needed a private hospital, and that was impossible for her family to afford. And that is when Compassion International stepped in. Now, through Compassion, Alejandra was treated, and against all odds, she survived. She lived because someone, just like you, took action. Right now, unfortunately, there are children just like Alejandra who won't survive unless someone like you steps in. Compassion International partners with local churches, providing children with the support that they need, critical medical care, plus food, education, and the hope of the gospel, all in Jesus' name. So help a child just like Alejandra today. You can visit compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Agent for Truth is where people can find you, and the name of the book that they can find there at agentfortruth.com?
Investigating the Federal Income Tax, a report to the American people.
Good, good. Absolutely. You've been there. You've walked the walk. You've kept your integrity. I have the utmost admiration for you, Joe. I appreciate what you've done. It has its own reward. I know it's been tough for you, but it has its own reward, and you have kept your integrity, and that's the best any of us can do. Thank you for what you do. Appreciate that.
I admire you too, David. Thank you very much for having me.
Well, thank you. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project, to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com. We have now joining us Steve Malloy. His site is junkscience.com. And Steve is one of the best researchers out there debunking the lies of climate and the rest of this stuff and what is going on with the EPA. So I want to talk to him about several things. Today, it is rumored that maybe as early as today, but sometime imminently, the Democrats are pushing Biden to declare an emergency and to use his now, I guess, the well-established precedent of an executive order to do whatever he wants. And so we're going to talk to Steve about that. Thank you for joining us, Steve.
Hey, Dave. Thanks for having me.
I wanted to start with something that you found that's on junkscience.com that I thought was really good. A conservative climate class, episode number one. And you said you're watching Fox News, outnumbered. And before we talk about this, and you said, look at this clip. And what is wrong here that is happening on Fox News? They did an episode about the climate radicals from the UK going from town to town and letting the air out of SUVs, letting the air out of the tires of the SUVs and putting a flyer on the windshield lecturing them about climate damage. But I'm going to play this clip and then let you comment about what happened on Fox News. So here's a clip that Steve Malloy found on the outnumbered show on Fox News.
The eco-warriors known as the tire extinguishers are moving across the U.S. In June, they targeted dozens of SUVs in New York City, sneakily letting the air out of tires. And their deflating tour is picking up speed. They're hitting other cities like San Francisco, Chicago, even Scranton, Pennsylvania. And the tire extinguishers also leave behind pamphlets on the windshields of the cars that they vandalize, reading in part, "Attention, your gas guzzler kills. We have deflated one or more of your tires. You'll be angry, but don't take it personally. It's not you, it's your car. This is a machine that destroys life with terrifying efficiency."
So I appreciate everyone's concern about people getting to places in an emergency, but I don't want to distract from the actual point that they're trying to make here.
Is this peaceful protesting?
Is that this would probably not fall under civil disobedience, is my understanding, but I'm not a scholar exactly on where the line is. I do want to point out that there has been protesting. There has been a tremendous amount of effort from youth primarily worldwide who have called attention to the climate crisis, which often gets denied, sadly, on this network. And to your point about the can and the leather and that you're the faster runner, I'm sure that's fact. But the idea that we have a different relationship with fur today. Not to say that I'm not wearing leather on my shoes,
I bought it. It's my property and you don't get to damage it, and nor would I damage your property ever in disagreement.
I think it's really important that we make sure that we keep this specific conversation on the climate crisis that we're facing.
But when we talk about
Steve Malloy found that and he put that out and he said, "See if you can guess what the problem is." What is the problem there, Steve? Tell our audience.
Well, the problem is that, you know, these four very conservative people on Fox News point out rightly how wrong it is what, you know, these climate terrorists have been doing in England and have now brought to America. And it's all indefensible. But then, of course, you know, the leftist panel member that they have on the show just starts talking climate crisis, and she keeps saying climate crisis, and how then she justifies what, you know, these climate terrorists are doing by saying climate crisis. And so she tries to outflank them that way. And What was disturbing to me is that none of the four conservative panelists on that show, you went after her for claiming climate crisis. They said, "There's no climate crisis. What's the climate crisis? Describe it. It's summertime. It's hot in some places, like it always is." And so it just struck me, you know, climate is a lot like the stolen 2020 election. Conservatives are not really allowed to challenge the basic. You know, you're not allowed to challenge the notion that Biden won, and you're not allowed to challenge the notion that, you know, greenhouse gas emissions are destroying the planet. Uh-huh. And I just, you know, it's either out of ignorance or they've been intimidated or told not to talk about it. But I just find it very disturbing that, and I'm watching the news today, and it's the same. You know, we have these heat waves going on in Europe. And in America, and of course, yeah, it's hot there, it's hot here, but it's cool everywhere else on the planet. Today's global warming is about 0.36 Fahrenheit warmer than the 1979-2000 average. I mean, it's not even really measurable. Yeah, it's hot in some places, but it's cool in others.
Yeah, I want to get into that. I want to get, you got some great articles about Lake Mead and about the Great Salt Lake and all the different narratives that are being put out there. I don't want to get into that, but you know, but before we get away from this thing here, it's just amazing to me, as you pointed out, they're not getting at the fundamental issue. They're looking at the sizzle and not at the steak, because they're focused on things that are going to draw people in. They're focused on things that are going to be sensational for the viewers. And they're also, as you pointed out, the fundamental thing is not allowed to be challenged. Just as we've seen for the last 2 years, you can't challenge the fundamental statements about the vaccine or what. You can't challenge the mask or the mandates. You can't challenge any of these. That's all off limits. So you can kind of, you know, move around this and say things like, well, you know, you can't talk about whether the vaccine works or whether it's safe, but you can say, but if I've had COVID, I shouldn't be mandated to take it. Should I? Natural immunity? That's a side issue. These guys are focused on whether or not this is, as she falsely said, and that person was Gina Arnold. I'd never seen her before. What an annoying speaker she is. All this, not just what she says, but the way she says it, the vocal fry. She's the one who's staying, though, as annoying as she is. She's the one who stays focused on the issue.
Yeah. She knows that what the tire extinguishers are doing is wrong. She knows that, but she's, you know, nonetheless going to outflank them. She knows that, you know, no one on that panel either has to is allowed to or has the guts to challenge the basic notion that climate is a hoax.
Yeah.
It's a hoax. It's not a crisis. On that show, David Webb, who I love, who's a very conservative guy who knows that climate is nonsense, he starts to sort of talk about EV waste and, you know, solar panel waste or something. He's not talking about climate, though. The climate hysteria is a hoax. Yeah. And if they should know that. Like, you know, they know lots of other politics really well. They should know that. If they don't, shame on them for talking about this but not knowing anything about the issue.
That's right. Yeah. And they challenge her. She kind of throws it out as, I guess, maybe a red herring. You know, well, I think this is covered under civil disobedience. It's like, you're not civilly disobeying the government. You're attacking somebody's property. And he made that point, but they get, that's a side issue. The issue, as you pointed out, is the climate issue. You've got a great article also at junkscience.com. What is going to happen now after this, Supreme Court decision that says the EPA has usurped authority that it doesn't have? Your title is SCOTUS has crippled Biden's EPA, but there's only one way to stop them for good. What is that way, Steve?
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Well, you know, so the Supreme Court said that basically the Biden administration cannot regulate climate unless Congress allows them to. And in doing that, Congress destroyed the Obama Clean Power Plan, which was regulating coal plants, issued in 2015, which helped cause the destruction of the U.S. coal industry, killed 50,000 high-paying coal miner jobs, devastated communities, et cetera. So now, you know, where do those people go to recoup their losses, you know, from this illegal government action? But so despite that, you know, Biden is set today to, you know, announce that he doesn't care what the Supreme Court says. He doesn't care what Congress says. He's going to go off and do climate by himself. And, you know, I mean, this is crazy. We have a totally rogue regime in place.
That's right. Yeah, you write, actually, you quote the 6-3 majority that said Congress did not grant EPA the authority to devise emissions caps based on the generation shifting approach that the agency took to the Clean Power Plan. But as you also point out, the Biden EPA doesn't really care. They'll just find another way to shut these things down. You know, when you talk about what happened with coal, and we look at how this energy shock, the fuel shock, is just going throughout our entire economy, oil, gas, all the rest of these things, but also coal. I'm reminded, Steve, of back in 1979 when we had the OPEC shock to our energy systems. They were saying, well, we're going to be out of oil and natural gas by the mid-1980s. That was Time and Newsweek. I've shown that cover many times on my show. But then inside of it, they said, but we've got 666 years of coal. And so, you know, 666, right? So, we gotta get rid of the coal. They didn't say that, but that's what they focused on first. Because we had so much coal, they had to do that. This is a deliberate program of shutting down our lives, I think. I've said many times, it's not about the emissions, it's about the omissions. They wanna omit all of this from our life, don't they?
Yeah. And you know, it's not, at least, you know, with Jimmy Carter, Jimmy Carter was just incompetent. But I mean, he did do one thing, you know, in response to the 1970s oil crisis, Congress passed and Jimmy Carter signed a law that, shifted emphasis towards coal for producing electricity and away from oil and gas, which was very expensive at the time. And that lasted until the Obama administration, which completely obliterated it. Now here we have another energy crisis and we still have all this coal. And we have even more oil and gas. And is Joe Biden tapping any of it to lower energy prices to control inflation? No, he's doing everything he can to make it worse. If he declares a climate emergency or whatever executive action he's going to try to do, he's just going to make gas prices go higher. He's going to make electricity prices go higher. He is not incentivized at all. You know, the most important thing for him is his climate agenda. The rest of us be damned.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's a deliberate deconstruction of our society. I compare him to Nero all the time. setting fires to burn down our society and then pointing to other people. I didn't do it. He did it. You know, he's an arsonist. He's an arsonist to our society. But you say there's another case that is coming up before the Supreme Court that is very important. Tell people about that.
Right. Okay. So, you know, like Obama did, Obama was stopped legislatively on climate. And so what he did then was shift to the EPA, where he launched his war on coal. And he issued the Clean Power Plan and other regulations, which were just devastating to the coal industry, unnecessarily devastating, produced nothing. So now Joe Biden has been stopped legislatively in Congress also. So he's going back to the EPA. Now, what he's going to do is he's going to try to control coal plant emissions through this back door of air quality. And to do that, he's got to have the scientific sort of peer review done by a congressionally mandated review panel. It's called the Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee. Now, when Biden came into office, he fired the existing Clean Air Scientific Advisory Committee and then reconstituted it. And the people he reconstituted it with are EPA cronies, people who have received tens of millions of dollars in EPA grants. Now, the law requires that these people be independent and the panel be, you know, independent and balanced. But of course it's not, because it's just, it's nothing but these EPA cronies. So there's a lawsuit right now about this. It's called Young v. EPA. It was argued in federal court in D.C. last December. We are waiting for a decision at any moment now. Now, if that decision comes down, it's going to completely stop the Biden EPA from trying to regulate climate through the back door of air quality. But we're just going to have to see what happens.
Now, that's at a U.S. District Court for Washington, D.C. Is that a left-leaning court? Is that likely that they're going to call him on that? I know that, you know, it would look a bit better if it was going to go to the Supreme Court. Is that a court that you think is going to lean left, however, and support Biden?
Well, it's hard to tell. The judge we have was appointed by Donald Trump.
Mm.
So that could be good.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
we're just... I have, you know, federal court decisions, regardless of who appoints a judge, are often hard to predict. So we're just going to have to see. I think the case is open and shut. I mean, it's clear that EPA has illegally stacked these panels. The plaintiff is good. He has standing. The judge, although he turned down the plaintiff's request for a temporary restraining order against EPA, at the time, which was February, he told EPA that, you know, EPA, if you continue down this road, you run the risk of having to start all over. So that's kind of a good sign, but we'll see.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, as I've said many times, when we put these things, send it to a court, it's kind of like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get, right? especially the Supreme Court. You know, just when you think you got these guys figured out, they go off in a completely different direction. But, you know, it's now, I guess, this climate emergency, and we can talk about how it's not an emergency in a minute. But let's talk about what the Democrats are trying to get Biden to do as they're screaming emergency, emergency. What is it that they're hoping he's going to do by executive fiat?
Well, I don't even think they know. And that's why today, you know, he's going to be speaking in Massachusetts about climate, and they were hoping he would announce an emergency, but it doesn't look like he's going to, because he doesn't really know what he can do. You know, he can, as we mentioned earlier, you know, he can try to regulate climate through the back door at EPA. You know, he could possibly, you know, do something to halt oil drilling, gas drilling on federal lands, offshore, onshore. But does he really want to do that during an oil crisis? I mean, that would be pretty, you know, Biden says, I'm doing everything I can to reduce gas prices. And it's not really true. But I mean, that would be really openly hostile to stop oil drilling. I don't know, you know. I don't know if you want to talk about this later, but, you know, the New York Times just released a poll, which I had to dig on their website to find it, and I accidentally came across this. They did a poll with Siena College, and it reported that among voters, only 1%,
that's right,
only 1% prioritized climate. And if you look at the cross-tabulations, in the age group 45 to 64, it was 0%. And among Latinos, it was 0%.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, among Republicans, it was 0%. Whereas, you know, it was like 35% prioritized the economy and inflation.
Yeah, absolutely. I've talked about this and the fact that, you know, it's the economy, stupid. For the longest time, we've not, you know, this is the old axiom that goes back to the Clinton administration. When he was running for reelection, he had the Monica Lewinsky scandals and all the rest of this stuff and being investigated, impeached. And what was happening, in Europe, but, none of that stuff mattered. It was the economy, but, you know, Biden's got exactly the opposite problem, and everybody is upset about the economy. I mean, it is, they broke that down. If it's the same poll that I saw, they broke down the economy in about four or five different categories, and you total up all the, you're the top ones. And if you total up all those different facets of the economy that people are worried about, that's pretty much everything that everybody is concerned about right now. But he's going to focus on the 0 to 1% concern that is out there. Hopefully that will not work out right.
Well, yeah, and I think that 1% that is, you know, prioritizes climate, I think they all work in the media and the White House.
That's right.
I mean, these people live in a bubble that is unimaginable.
Well, you know, when they're talking about this, though, as you pointed out, they don't even know what he's going to be able to do, but they want him to declare an emergency because this is now the way that we're all governed, you know. And I've talked about this for the longest time. I got a clip from the Russians are coming. The Russians are coming.
Yeah.
Everybody get from the, it's an emergency, right? And so this is the type of thing they just declare an emergency. Then that supposedly gives them the ability to just, you know, act as a dictator. And so that's really what they're saying. We want you to become a climate dictator. You know, Steve, I've talked about this many times. I call it the climate MacGuffin, just like we had a COVID MacGuffin. Hitchcock talked about how the MacGuffin was this imaginary thing that motivated all the characters. Didn't really matter what it was, as long as people didn't ask too many questions about it. You know, it just had to motivate the characters. And we've seen this. You and I have been watching this climate stuff for a long time, and so we've seen how it was going to be global cooling, then it was going to be global warming, and then it was going to be just climate change. But it was always the same thing that had to be done. And then when COVID happened, lo and behold, it's the same thing again. And now we're back to the COVID MacGuffin. But they want the emergency power because they have a set of agenda things that they want to do, and that one of them is to basically destroy our economy, take away our energy, and make us poor and dependent on them. That's the fundamental thing.
Well, yeah, I mean, their agenda, and I don't really understand where this comes from, but...
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
There is a large percentage of the population that has banded together in a political force that just wants to be able to do what they want to do to anybody at any time.
Yeah.
And, you know, the rule of law be damned.
Yeah, that's right. And they don't realize how that's going to bounce back on them at some point in time. You know, the problem with having your guy be the dictator is your guy may not always be the dictator. You set up a dictatorship, it's going to come back and bite you pretty badly. Our old friend, Ed Markey, and, I remember years and years ago, it's been almost 10 years, the EPA fraud that was being done in Research Triangle Park. And of course, Ed Markey was just a congressman at the time. He's working with Obama's, EPA director, Lisa Jackson. And they were telling everybody that it wasn't just about people getting sick, but more people were dying of fine particulate matter than were dying of cancer. This is and they had scripted this back and forth. So now Markey is a senator. He's been rewarded for all that. And he wants Biden to ban further drilling on public lands as part of this climate emergency. I mean, they want to shut down all energy use, don't they?
Yeah. No, it's really incredible. You know, we are seeing in Europe, you know, this whole, the energy, global energy crisis, the war in Ukraine itself. Europe is going to have to ration energy this winter. And it's all because of, you know, green policies and what I call climate idiocy. You know, the only you can't have a growing economy and a rising standard of living when you try to constrain energy. But that is what these people are trying to do.
Yeah.
You know, Germans pay the highest electricity prices in the world. They have all these windmills, all these solar panels. But in reality, there's still a heat wave over there. Emissions are going up. They've accomplished nothing. Now they have to ration energy. This whole green thing has been a disaster, but the leftists just, you know, they can't give it up. And, you know, we have the same disease in America. It's called the Democrat Party.
Yeah.
And of course, there are a lot of Republicans that fall for this nonsense, too.
Yeah.
And it's really disturbing. And I'm not quite sure what we're going to, you know, do about it because, I mean, it is quite a disease.
Well, and the amazing thing is that this disease, I would call it a cancer, has really metastasized to all of our vital organs, right? It is not just the energy that is vital for these long supply chains that we have, you know, just-in-time delivery and everything, or the manufacturer, or, you know, using it for, you know, agricultural purposes and that type of thing. But now it is metastasized and this whole energy war has become part of this Ukraine war. And so I've got a headline here from RT, Steve, that says a heat wave kills hundreds in Spain and Portugal. Well, you know, the Russians are pushing this out because they've got Europe in a tight spot as they are going to be withholding the gas from them. And so this is just putting more and more pressure on their enemies, you know, about energy and that type of thing. And so we see how this is being played out, but it is in so many different areas. They're coming after our food, our transportation, everything in our economy, and it all comes back to the climate change, and they're using that to attack our energy production and our food.
No, and you raise a very good point. You know, Putin has paid climate activists to stop Europe from fracking so that Europe would get hooked on Russian oil and gas.
Yep.
And Putin funds a lot of these climate groups to just, you know, keep pushing the hysteria. And more than Putin, you know, communist China does the same thing. Congress was investigating whether communist China was paying U.S. environmental groups to, you know, wreck the economy. That's an old, that's sort of Soviet concept, wrecking the economy. But when Democrats took over, they killed the investigation. But so now we have, you know, this whole ESG movement, the ESG investors, environmental, social, and corporate governance, like, you know, led by BlackRock and State Street, all these huge banks, investment houses like Goldman Sachs. You know, they all profit in China, and I think they're allowed to profit in China so that they push the climate idiocy on the rest of us.
I agree. And I agree. I want to get into that ESG stuff, but let's not leave the temperature things just yet. Because this heat wave stuff, we're seeing the panic of, you know, people are dying. Hundreds are dying, they said. Heat wave kills hundreds in Spain and Portugal. This is RT telling everybody. You know, it was just back in the end of March, you remember, Steve, when they were telling everybody, look, the temperature just jumped 40 degrees centigrade in the Antarctic and the Arctic. You remember that? And I was like, wait a minute, how could that possibly be? Because that's 104 degrees Fahrenheit, folks. And if that were to happen at both poles, as they were telling everybody, how is it that we didn't see any jump here? That was idiotic. And you remember what happened with it, what that was all based on, right? It was just based on their projections. They didn't even measure anything. It only lasted for 2 days, right?
Yeah, look, anytime there's a heat wave, people die. Okay?
Yeah,
the good news is that a lot less people are dying from heat waves today than used to because we have air conditioning and, you know, we're just smarter about these things.
Oh, but they got a plan for that too, though. They get rid of the air conditioning so we can kill more people. Get rid of the air conditioning. Not just the food and the fuel, but the air conditioning too. Yeah, go ahead.
We talked about this earlier. You know, it's hot in Europe and it's hot maybe someplace else in the Midwest, but it's cold other places, and it all averages out. And the con, David, remember the con was originally called global warming. That's the con. And if you look, is the globe really warming? Well, not today. Today there's really no global warming because the cold is offsetting the heat of the places. And so their narrative has failed, and it's frustrating to me that, you know, the fact that narrative has failed, you can't get that on TV anyplace. You can't get that on Fox News. You can't get that on, and nobody wants to talk about that, and I don't understand why.
That's right. Well, you know,
it's the most interesting thing about this whole thing. Yeah, there's a heat wave over there, but really the globe is not really warmer over the past 40 years.
That's right.
So it's just weather.
That's right. It's just weather. And there's no distinction between, and we see that on people who are pushing back on it as well. You know, they'll say the same thing when it gets really cold. Weather is not climate, and you have to have the data for a very long time, but we do have data now for a very long time, and we have shown that there is no climate change. You know, there's weather variations. And let's talk a little bit about the weather as well. You've got a couple of good articles, one of them about Lake Mead and then the other one about the Great Salt Lake. Let's talk about Lake Mead first. The article at junkscience.com is Lake Mead shrinking because of climate? Let's talk about that. Tell people, is it shrinking?
Well, Lake Mead is shrinking. Is it climate? Well, you know, if you look back at Lake Mead's history, you know, just maybe, I think 50 years ago, the 1960s, it was as low then as it is today. So is that climate? No, it's something else. It's probably, you know, it may not be raining, but that once again is weather. You know, drought is a natural condition out there. It is the desert, but there's also water usage. You know, we have ramped up water usage. The point is that this has happened before. It could not have been climate because there was a lot less carbon dioxide in the atmosphere. So it's not that. It's just, you know, these things happen. It's probably mismanagement. It's got nothing to do with, you know, CO2 emissions. And the same thing is happening at the Great Salt Lake. I mean, if you look back in history, Great Salt Lake goes up, you know, its level goes up and down, and it has nothing to do with carbon dioxide. But of course, in the media, you know, they only look at what's going on today. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, if there's something bad happening today, regardless of what has ever happened in the past, if it's happening bad today, it's got to be climate change. And it's just, I mean, almost everything is blamed on climate change.
Oh, yeah. As a matter of fact, you actually go back and you go to the data, you know, for several decades, and you show the charts in your article. It had low points in 1956 and 1965. And it still hasn't gotten back to that. Even though it's very low now, it hasn't gotten back to those points. And then we're talking about the Great Salt Lake. You point out this is coming from the New York Times by, as you call him, I think it's true, imbecile economist Paul Krugman. This is an economist, right? Maybe he would go back and look at the data to know what he's talking about. Is this something? Oh, look, it's low. It must be. I can use this for my narrative, and that's exactly what they.
And you know what's incredible, David, is that none of this is rocket science. I mean, I don't spend half my day looking for this data. I just do a Google search, and in seconds, I come up with this. They could do the same thing, but of course, they don't want to.
That's right. No, they don't want to, and they wanna hide the actual data. And of course, I think you were involved in that, just like I was, trying to get that information about Michael Mann, who came up with a hockey stick thing that was used by Al Gore, viciously fought and eventually won in court to be able to hide the data, even after we had emails between him and other people saying, hey, our models aren't working. How do we fix this? How do we massage the data? How do we hide the data? Yeah. How do we hide the decline? And we said, all right, you've published your results and you were paid at a public institution. This has been used to craft public policy. Can we see your data? No, you can't see the data. Well, I think we know. You know, I think we know what's going on with these guys. And that's exactly what happened with all this COVID MacGuffin. You know, they just keep rolling the same MO everywhere they
are. And once again, you know, it's really Republicans that are letting us down. I mean, we elect these people. None of this, you know, Rand Paul is trying to fight back, but most of these other people, they're just sort of silent and let it, you know, they don't really do anything. And the other side is really aggressive.
Yeah.
And even if they're wrong, that's what they become more aggressive. Look at Fauci. What a sick SOB that guy is.
That's right.
Why is he still in the government at his age? He's never been right about anything. He's a malignant dwarf.
Yeah.
And he is making our lives miserable. And why is he still there? What was Trump thinking?
Yeah, I know.
That guy walked the plank.
Yeah, he even had people yelling, fire Fauci, fire Fauci. He goes, vote for me. We'll see what I can do. Yeah, and he didn't do anything. I mean, after the election, he did nothing. He had 60 days. He did nothing. You talked a little bit about what is happening in Texas. Now they've got,
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute. And I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Telling people, you know, before they do rolling brownouts or blackouts, or telling industrial customers to shut it down so they don't have to take away air conditioning from voters 2 months before the election. So I've experienced this when I was there, and they had the windmills that froze, and now the windmills are not producing in the middle of a heat wave. What a surprise, isn't it?
Well, yeah, and you know, even in a red state like Texas. The Republican politicians have been purchased by the wind industry and allowed to, they have destroyed the electricity grid in Texas. Mm-hmm. So that, you know, you mentioned that, Valentine's Day, 2021, disaster where, you know, 200 people died because the windmills froze and blackouts ensued.
Yeah.
And now, you know, we're having the increasing likelihood of blackouts in Texas and rationing. Because the wind industry has been allowed to purchase politicians.
That's right.
And it's, you know, what do? Do you attack Governor Greg Abbott and all the other Republican governors so that they get replaced by Democrats who are going to be worse? I mean, we are in a real fix.
Yeah, that's
and
right.
And we've got to fix this ourselves.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, I you know, the entire time I was there for about a little over 9 years, I watched them decommissioning power plant after power plant. Yep. And this is what's happening across our country. And there was a tremendous amount. I forget how many billions of dollars or tens of billions of dollars that the state of Texas gave to these people who were already billionaires, the same type of thing they do, you know, for putting in football stadiums or baseball stadiums or something like that. Gave them a tremendous amount of money to build this infrastructure for these windmills. Large windmill fields there, and yet they're not able to deliver. And so it was all about graft and corruption. And they bought these officials, and they put this in there. And these people, and a lot of them had been people who had been in the oil and natural gas industry because, and they wanted to get in on the ground floor of something that was completely new and different, and force people through the government to make that change and to get the government to subsidize it. I mean, it's just corruption writ large.
Right. No, and none of this stuff works.
Yeah.
We know it doesn't work, and it's not going to work anytime soon. And of course, you know, the dirty little secret behind all this, not only does it not work and it costs more money, it all comes from China. It doesn't come from here.
That's right.
And, you know, if we were to, if it were even possible to get hooked on this stuff, we would be at the mercy of communist China because it's the, it's where wind comes, the rare air earths that make the windmills work, the solar, same with the solar panels, you know, slave labor, is China, the EV batteries, all the rare earths and cobalt processing happens in China. I mean, this is just a disaster, yet we're letting it happen. You know, the investors in these windmills and the utilities, they make money from putting this stuff up. They make money now. And so they get their managements get their bonuses and everything now.
That's
and
right.
The rest of us are left with, you know, the crap that doesn't work.
That's right. Yeah. And this goes back just like, Earth Day and the environmental movement. This goes back to, you know, the 70s and Nixon administration where they put China in the catbird seat. They made the decision that they were going to let these people be the center of the global economy. They had slave labor. They had other things that they could use. And they've really been used, I think, Steve, as a beta test site for all this stuff. You talked about, you had a tweet. You said, a creepy elitist, power-crazed World Economic Forum calls for even higher gas prices to hasten the green energy transition. And, yeah, that's absolutely true. You know, at least you can see what the World Economic Forum is putting up out there. I looked at that and it's like, I clicked on it. It's like, oh, that's right. I can't view anything they've got because they blocked me. I didn't realize they blocked me. I hadn't even trolled them by saying stuff like that. So you're going to be careful. They're going to block you. I'd never directly attacked them and called them creepy elitist power crazed people, which they are. But I never addressed them directly with those adjectives, but, they preemptively blocked me. It's kind of strange, but that is really where I think, you know, these politicians, as you pointed out, with this two-party system, they only have to be slightly better than the other guy, and then they can essentially forward this agenda that is anti-American and anti-human, and this is what is happening in country after country, you know, whether you're looking at New Zealand or Canada, and it's what happened during the COVID thing, but that's what's happening.
Yeah, you mentioned something very important there. This is an anti-human agenda.
Yeah.
You know, recall that in the mid-1960s, Paul Ehrlich, who wrote The Population Bomb and is still a full professor at Stanford and is a member of the prestigious National Academy of Science. The guy's never been right about anything. Anyway, he said that the carrying capacity of the planet is about 2 billion people. Well, later this year, we are forecast to hit 8 billion people. Mm-hmm. And I think that these people, the World Economic Forum and the people that get involved with them and Democrats and leftists, they really think that 6 billion people need to step off the planet. And they're doing the best they can to get us there.
Oh, yeah. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. You look at the Georgia Guidestones that somebody just fortunately took out for us. I don't know what was up about that. But, you know, they had even just a half a billion. You know, they were even more Malthusian than Paul Ehrlich. I didn't know he was still around, let alone teaching. How old is that guy? What is he, like 90 years old or something?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't hear from him very often because he blocked me, so I don't.
There you go. Yeah, we're being shut down. We can no longer allow to see evil or to hear evil because we'll speak about evil. So the World Economic Forum blocks me, he blocks you. That's funny.
Yeah.
Germany is planning warm-up spaces for this winter. They're going to be wishing for global warming pretty soon, aren't they? I mean, and we're seeing, and we've talked about this many times in the past, how it was already long ago because of the high prices in Germany as they were rolling into this expensive pensioners and people who didn't have the money to cut back on the thermostat. And that's really going to be coming up big time this fall, isn't it?
Yeah, so it's really weird. You know, they're Germany, which used to be a technological leader, you know, they've fallen for this green stuff, which doesn't work. They're shutting down their nuclear plants. Maybe they're slowing some of that down now. They're going to have to reopen coal plants, you know, against their agenda. But, you know, just today there's more news. Putin is, you know, squeezing them more on gas. And, you know, they're thinking about, yeah, we're going to need to have communal heating places and how else can we ration electricity? I mean, the whole thing is just a disaster. And you kind of wonder, like, why aren't people up in arms about this? Instead, they elect this new green government. You know, they get rid of Merkel, who is bad enough. Now they have Olaf Scholz. Have been forced to reopen like 27 coal plants.
Yeah.
But they don't want to, and they can't wait to shut them down again.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Soros at Davos was just railing about how Merkel had thrown them under the bus because she hadn't done enough to do renewables and left them vulnerable to these fossil fuels and everything, which is really the only thing that's going to keep them alive come winter. It's pretty amazing. And they're now talking in all these different places in Europe about, well, should we let the peasants go out and gather wood so they can heat themselves? You know, they're seriously, you know, they're talking about gathering wood for fuel, but they're not fully on board with that because, you know, we shouldn't let them be able to go through and collect, you know, dead wood out of the forest to heat themselves. It's amazing. It's turning medieval, isn't it?
It is totally medieval. And, you know, now we have this sort of looming global food crisis because, you know, Russia can't export its wheat and won't let Ukraine to export its. And, you know, in America, we burn grain for, we burn food for energy because we have all these ethanol mandates.
Exactly.
The whole thing is just, you wonder, like, who is in charge and who votes for these people and what schools did they go to? I don't know where all these people came from because they've all lost their minds.
Well, they're graduates of the World Economic Forum. Klaus Schwab has got his.
How did they acquire all this power and all this money? Because they are obviously too stupid to do anything.
Yeah.
How did it happen?
Well, you know, they're smart enough to get into these institutions. I've had people ask me that. Say, how did we wind up with all the universities and schools being controlled by these radical leftist liberals and everything? It's like, well, because, you know, they love it. They love those institutions and they want to be part of them. These are the kinds of people when we were in high school, they wanted to be the leaders of student government. You know, I didn't want to have anything to do with it, but, you know, it works out for them.
Yeah, I'll go a step further. I mean, they have purposely captured these institutions.
Yeah.
It's not. They just gravitate there. They have purposely captured them.
I agree.
You know, there was a great radio series starring Dana Andrews from the 1950s. I was a communist for the FBI.
Mm-hmm.
And the episodes are great because they explain how since the 1920s, and they do it through, you know, recreations of stories by FBI agents. Of how communists have purposely tried to capture these institutions.
Yes.
And control them for these purposes.
That's right. Yeah, the Frankfurt Institute, they made it a deliberate goal to capture Hollywood and things like that. And they've been very successful at that. It's been a long running plan.
Yeah.
You talk about, and we were mentioning air conditioning earlier. And you got an article, junkscience.com, ozone hole depletion, hysteria debunked anew. Tell us about that because they're just rolling out. They're about to rev.
Hey, it's Ben Ferguson and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute. And I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino. America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
The version of refrigerant that we got yet again, you know, they did it once before and said, sorry, you can't have that. Now we got something that's going to be safe for the ozone layer. And now as their patent, I guess, is about to expire. That was Eric Peters' take on that.
And Republicans like John Kennedy and Bill Cassidy from Louisiana behind this. Ozone hole hysteria, born in the 1970s, the guys that discovered the chemistry behind ozone hole hysteria won the Nobel Prize. And what they discovered was was some thinning over the Antarctic in the ozone layer, which protects us from the UV layer, from the UV radiation from the sun. It wasn't a hole. It was just some thinning. No one really understood it. These guys figured out that chlorofluorocarbons are refrigerants. When they escape into the atmosphere, they destroy the ozone. And for that, they won the Nobel Prize. We got the Montreal Protocol, which was pushed by environmentalists, of course, as well as DuPont, who was losing its patents on CFCs. And of course, since then, We've been on this all, you know, we keep replacing refrigerants and they keep getting needlessly more expensive. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I never believed ozone hysteria. It's true, the chemistry.
Neither did I. Let me ask you this too. I mean, I was always under the impression that they'd never looked before. I mean, had they ever looked before? Did they ever look in, at the ozone layer over the poles?
No.
First time they looked and said, oh, there's a thinning there. And so, that's.
Well, yeah. So two weeks ago, there's a study that comes out that says, you know what? There's been an ozone hole over the tropics since the 1980s. They didn't even notice it. Because there was nothing happening. Because there's nothing there. It's just, you know, we have an excess of protective ozone in the stratosphere. If it gets thin here and there, it doesn't really matter. Mm-hmm. And so the whole thing has been a hoax. Now, I remember about 20 years ago when Al Gore was developing his slideshow. I was in a meeting where I got to see his slideshow. And he made this remark. His remark was, you know, the purpose of the Montreal Protocol was not to protect the ozone layer. It was to show that we could get a global climate treaty. About global government. Wow. And that is where we are now, because out of the Montreal Protocol comes the United Nations framework on climate change, which, you know, George Bush, the elder, signed in 1992 in Rio. Mm-hmm. And out of that was the Kyoto Protocol and the Paris Climate Accord. So all this stuff, you know, the fruit of the poisonous tree is the Montreal Protocol, totally bogus. There's no problem with the ozone. There never has been. We paid needlessly more for refrigerants. We have Senator Kennedy and Bill Cassidy and other Republicans going along with Democrats, you know, signing a bill at the end of the Trump administration to force make EPA force us out of the refrigerants we're using right now. Now there's an amendment to the Montreal Protocol that's in the Senate right now that Senator Kennedy's probably for, as well as Bill Cassidy, because the refrigerant industry and the environmentalists are pushing it. It's called the Kigali Amendment, and it's going to force us out of our current refrigerants into technology that does not even exist yet.
Wow.
I mean, the whole thing is a nightmare. People think Senator Kennedy's funny when he goes on TV. He says all sorts of folksy things. I'd like to see someone ask Senator Kennedy about this.
Yeah, yeah. The Kigali Amendment. It sounds like Hegelian. That's amazing. That's the way they push us. You know, you're talking about this and they had to see if they could get a world agreement. And I've talked to you. We were talking before about how the plan for the longest time has been depopulation. And going back to when the Pope put out his climate encyclical, a guy who was very instrumental in that, who was the Vatican science director that was writing that, was John Schellenhuber. And he had been at the right hand of Prince Charles and had been conspiring to do this World League thing and a planetary council and an Earth constitution. I mean, everything about these guys is to centralize all power and wealth into their hands globally and to depopulate everybody else. And it just keeps, you know, you have all these different organizations, but they all have the same goal, and it's that. And you have the same people that keep, showing up in all of these organizations for global control and world depopulation. It truly is amazing. Let's talk. I said we get to the ESG stuff. Let's talk a little bit about the ESG, because now these scores are really the new corporate benchmark, aren't they? I mean, we're not really worried about Moody's or any financial ratings. Now we're worried about the ESG score that everybody's got.
Well, yeah, the whole notion is that, you know, the left can't get more stringent environmental and social standards through Congress. So they've created these, you know, fake international bodies that are imposing these standards through left-wing investors on corporations. It's basically a communist plot to circumvent democracy, to capture corporations for their political purposes, and it's working. And, you know, this is led by Wall Street firms, Goldman Sachs, especially BlackRock, State Street Bank, people that manage our pensions and manage pension funds for states. They use all our money to amass political power for themselves. Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there is a pushback. States like Texas have pushed back against BlackRock, Tennessee, some other states, And there's a growing West Virginia, there's a growing movement among red states to push back against these guys. But of course, the bankers are pushing back on their own, and it's a real struggle. And you have also the Biden Securities and Exchange Commission. You know, it's got all these, you know, it's starting to get itself involved in ESG, pushing ESG rules. They've also got a proposed rule to require companies disclose their greenhouse gas emissions and what they're doing on climate. And the whole purpose of this is really to capture the corporation. And we talked about how the left has captured virtually every institution in America.
Yeah.
And we see now with woke corporations, they have made substantial progress in capturing those corporations. And, you know, as someone who does shareholder activism myself, I can see they certainly have made tremendous progress against corporations. And so ESG is just another tool to, you know, help bring that about.
That's right. You've gone to the Exxon meeting, for example, and others and standing up and say, what are you doing? Because they're not focused on their product. They're not focused on their customer. They've got one customer. And that is the people who are doing the ESG ratings and the government. It is to do their bidding. And that's one of the reasons why you see so much contempt for their customers from these big corporations. But it's really being driven, by BlackRock, as you pointed out, Vanguard. I mean, the big three, holding companies, they've got about $30 trillion worth of stock, and they're using that as leverage against these corporations. And now, like I said before, you know, they used to have, Moody's and other, financial rating, scores and things like that. But now they're all concerned about their ESG scores. There's a new MIT Sloan study says, hey, we're seeing widespread and repeated retroactive changes to ESG scores. So they're looking at this like somebody would raise a red flag about someone manipulating the Moody ratings or something. Like, well, what's going on here? You know, this is the way we evaluate corporations anymore. It's not by their profits. It's not by their products. It's now by, are they going to push the environmental agenda? Are they going to push this diversity, inclusivity, and all the rest of stuff, equity? Yeah.
And so these scores are being used by Wall Street to deny financing to companies.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the next step here is to, you know, take ESG scores and kind of turn them into social credit scores for individuals.
Yes.
So, you know, if you use too much energy or do the wrong things and own guns and stuff like that, you won't be able to get financing for your house or whatever you need.
Mm-hmm.
It's all, you know, very big brother stuff coming down the road. And once again, are Republicans doing anything?
Nothing.
Not much. I mean, we've got some action going on in the states, but in Congress, do Republicans even really understand this? And no.
Yeah, well, you know, they're rolling out the financial tools to control this stuff with the central bank digital currencies. And they've already talked about the fact, well, we're going to follow your carbon footprint. And, you know, what are you eating? You know, I'm sorry, you've already bought too much meat this month. So we're not going to let you buy this because we now control all the money centrally. And then when it comes to the social side of this, well, I'm sorry, I don't like what you had to say on social media, and you know, the World Economic Forum has blocked you or whatever, so now you're not going to be able to fill in the blank, and they're going to cut you off from that standpoint. That's really where this is rolling out, that kind of social credit, like we've seen already done in China.
Yeah, this is happening in China, and of course it's happening here too. Go to Twitter. See how long you last on Twitter speaking your mind.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah, well, you know, it was a little over a year ago after I'd done the show on my own for about 6 months. That PayPal and Venmo just suddenly, without any explanation, I could never get them to explain to me. I'll have to sue them if I want to get an explanation. They won't tell me, but they just pulled it. I can't even use them as an individual. That's what this is going to look like for everybody if they roll in this CBDC. We've seen it in Canada with the truckers and Trudeau coming after their stuff, but it truly is amazing that they're able to get away with this, and it truly is amazing that the politicians in Washington are not doing anything about that. And as you pointed out, there's nobody in the Republican Party that's even talking about that. None of the politicians in Washington.
Where is Mitch McConnell? Where is Kevin McCarthy? Where are these people? Nowhere.
Well, almost every time I talk about Mitch McConnell, I point out the insight that you had, and I'm still kicking myself because I didn't see it, but you said right after the election,
hey, it's Ben Ferguson, and I want you to pause what you're doing for just 1 minute, and I want you to hear about love, generosity, and compassion. We say those words all the time, and they sound good. They feel good. But here's the truth. Those words don't mean anything unless they turn into action. And right now, not later today, not tomorrow, there's a child in the world who doesn't know if they'll eat, if they'll have a chance to learn, or if there's any hope at all. And while we're all busy, life keeps moving forward, but that child is waiting. This is where you come in. With Compassion International, you have the chance to change a child's future. Not just with words, not with promises, but with real help that provides food, education, and hope through local churches and people already in their community. Put your words into action and join me. Introduce a child to a loving Heavenly Father today at compassion.com. That's compassion.com.
Moro Casino, America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
You said they're going to get back into this Paris climate thing right away, and you figured this out. It was great that you figured this out, and I tried to publicize it as much as I could. But you said this Paris climate thing is going to come back with Biden, and it did. And you said the way to stop this is for Mitch McConnell to hold a vote because there's no way they got the votes to ratify this as a treaty, and that would end it once and for all. Everybody was going back and forth about, well, what, is Trump going to do this? Is Trump going to do that to stop the Paris Climate Accord? It should have been Mitch McConnell, and he could have done it even in the Biden administration when Biden said, we've self-ratified, you know, Kerry and I decided we'll sign it. You can't do that. They're just making this stuff up. He should have called their bluff, but he didn't do it because he didn't want to, right?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's interesting because he did do it with the Green New Deal during the Trump administration when that first came up. He brought that to a vote, and of course, all Republicans voted against it and no Democrats voted at all. But for some reason, he wouldn't do it with the Paris Climate Accord, and he should have done it. Because that would have put an end to it, and we would not be in the Paris Climate Accord now. But
Even the people who are true believers in all this climate change stuff, I've seen them very angry about this because they said, "How can this be addressing what we think is a global problem if you're going to allow China and India to continue to add as many power plants as dirty as they are forever? You know, not forever, but you know, for decades. While you're cutting it down here, you're just rearranging the economic chairs on the Titanic." They say, and you're not doing anything to address the problem if you let China and India go free.
Yeah, well, I guess that's, you know, you mentioned it earlier. The World Economic Forum's idea was that China would just be this, you know, basically open sewer that produces all the goods. And, you know, it's dirty over there. Who cares? It's clean every place else. But of course, you know, China has its own mind. It's run by this aggressive Communist Party.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Absolutely.
That is realizing, God, we have all this power. We can do whatever we want. You know, we can take Taiwan and there's nothing anybody can do about it or would dare do anything about. That's because right. We'll just shut down their economies.
That's right. That's right. I think that had a lot to do. I've said this from the beginning. I think that what they did in Shanghai was signaling to everybody, look, we can shut you all down. When they shut down Shanghai, I think that was a very clever warning signal. Nobody else is really talking about that. Maybe they're afraid to talk about it.
Well, yeah. No, look, if it comes to end times, the Chinese have shown they can do whatever they want to their own people.
That's right.
So there's not going to be an uprising at home because they've got that locked down.
Yeah.
So they can go to, you know, war for keeps for everything against everybody else. They don't care.
That's right. They don't care about their people, and they can do that to their people as a weapon. There was one thing that you mentioned on junkscience.com. Kentucky Attorney General is saying that ESG investing is a breach of an asset manager's fiduciary study. So I don't want to end the time that we've got without touching on that. Is there any hope that is going to be an effective strategy against that? That's a great move.
Well, there's a lot of education that needs to go on. People need to realize that, you know, if you hire an investment manager for your money, of course, his fiduciary duty, his legal duty is to increase your investment. It's not to implement somebody else, you know, his own social policy with your money. Mm-hmm. And it's odd that you actually have to say that, but the Kentucky Attorney General has now issued an opinion, and that needs to unfortunately have to be marketed to everybody else as they realize that, you know, people that are pushing ESG versus trying to make money for you, or investors or state pension funds or whatever it is, that's all illegal.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, that should be echoed very, very loudly. That's why I wanted to get to that. And always, you're right at the center of everything, Steve. I really do appreciate you coming on. No, I mean, you picked that up. I haven't seen anybody else pick that up. The fact that the Kentucky Attorney General is saying, hey, you're breaching your fiduciary trust. You were supposed to make money for these people, make money for the pension plans, and you're out, you know, chasing your rainbows or whatever, you know, literally.
Where is the media on all this? I mean, I find it hard to believe that. You know, I spent the last more than 30 years on this nonsense. None of it is rocket science. It's just inconvenient facts that nobody wants to consider, even people on our own side.
I agree. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I'm glad you're feeling better. And folks, if you want to know what is happening at the epicenter and somebody who stays on top of it and sees what is happening across the political and economic spectrum, that's Steve Malloy at junkscience.com. Thank you very much, Steve. Appreciate it.
David, thanks for having me.
Thank you. All right, folks, in the little bit of time that we have left, I can't let today's show end without talking about the new historical location, or as some people have said, a new hysterical location on Google Maps. And that is Brandon Falls. Yes, people actually got it on Google Maps for about a day. They marked the spot where Biden fell off of his bicycle. They marked it as Brandon Falls, and then Google removed it after people started leaving reviews, and so then somebody put up a bicycle shop at the same location, and the comments and the reviews of the bicycle shop were great. Very nice place to ride a bike. Be careful not to cause too much inflation in your tires, or you can end up crashing your whole bike into the ground. But what happens? You just blame Putin, and people will fall for it. Another one said, the bicycle shop there, Brandon's bicycle shop, wonderful place, better than Niagara Falls, a true hysterical landmark. I came across this place by accident on my bicycle. get your ice cream there as well, but leave your kids at home. And that was echoed by other people who said, great tacos and ice cream at the Brandon bicycle shop, but it is not kid friendly. Somebody else who is not kid friendly is Nikki Haley. I like this headline. Hillary Clinton levels of cringe. That was a comment of one person who was looking at Nikki Haley so desperate for power. That is a very big warning sign. One of the most vicious, authoritarian warmongers I've ever seen in my life from any political party is Nikki Haley. And I, for the life of me, can't understand why so many Christians find her attractive. That's the end of our show. Thank you for joining us. The Common Man. They created Common Core to dumb down our children. They created Common Pass to track and control us. Their Commons Project to make sure the commoners own nothing. And the communist future. They see the common man as simple, unsophisticated, ordinary. But each of us has worth and dignity created in the image of God. That is what we have in common. That is what they want to take away. Their most powerful weapons are isolation, deception, intimidation. They desire to know everything about us while they hide everything from us. It's time to turn that around and expose what they want to hide. Please share the information and links you'll find at thedavidknightshow.com. Thank you for listening. Thank you for sharing. If you can't support us financially, please keep us in your prayers. thedavidknightshow.com.
Moro Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
This podcast is brought to you by Epicor Profit 21 ERP, purpose-built for distributors. In sports, the best teams don't chase the scoreboard. They set the pace. And in distribution, pace matters. 60% of the top distributors run on Profit 21 because it delivers real-time inventory visibility, smarter purchasing, and connected operations from sales to fulfillment. Don't play catch-up. Set the pace with Epicor Profit 21 ERP. Visit epicor.com/win.